on Radio News, I'm John Fox. Censuring George Bush. That was the topic Friday when the House Judiciary Committee met to consider the resolution offered by Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold. Feingold put the issue squarely in perspective with his opening remarks.
If the president's legal theory, which is shared by some of our witnesses today, is correct, then FISA is a dead letter. All of the supposed protections for civil liberties contained in the reauthorization of the Patriot Act that we just passed are a cruel hoax. Under this theory, we no longer have a constitutional system. We have a monarchy.
Only one other Democrat, Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, showed up for the hearing. The two Democrats were opposed by several Republicans, none of whom dared call George Bush into account. Another Republican is headed up the river. Tom DeLay's former press secretary pled guilty Friday to mail fraud in connection with activities he undertook with DeLay's close friend, Jack Abramoff. Tony Rudy joined Abramoff and others in a scam to influence Congress and defraud clients. Rudy faces no more than 5 years in prison for trying to subvert the U.S. government. Iran test-fired a new missile Friday. Reports from Tehran say the weapon can disperse multiple warheads hitting several targets simultaneously. Western experts aren't certain, but they say the missile may have enough range to hit Israel or U.S. bases in the Middle East. People relive the pain of 9/11 Friday. The city of New York released a set of compact discs containing the audio from emergency dispatch calls received during the World Trade Center collapse. The discs comprise some 130 calls made to fire and police dispatchers. Only the dispatch side of the audio was released. Of all the people who placed the calls, 28 people have been identified. Of those, only one survived. A court has left it up to the next of kin whether to release the other parts of the calls. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the Bush administration has made, in her words, thousands of mistakes. Rice confessed the administration's ineptitude in a speech Friday in Blackburn, England. She was a guest of the Chatham Institute, a UK think tank. Despite the thousands of bungled decisions, Rice said the only one that mattered was the decision to overthrow the Iraqi government. Protesters greeted the fashion plate diplomat with queries of, "Hey Condi, how many children did you kill today?" Add one more to the number of Iraqis dead at the hands of the United States. An elderly prisoner at George Bush's Abu Ghraib prison died of an apparent heart attack Friday. Other prisoners reported that the man was having difficulty breathing. He died after he was transported to the prison's medical unit. The Army's Central Criminal Investigation Division is looking into the death. This is news on the Horn.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
Clone Radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP. That's stealing. Or have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning! Warning!
Happy birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
George Bush is offering to help Iran following the earthquakes there Friday. Bush said, quote, "I want to offer my country's assistance to the people affected by the recent earthquakes in Iran," unquote. He added, quote, "We do care about the suffering of the Iranian people," unquote. At least 66 people are dead, and more than 1,400 have been injured by the quakes. Still no verdict in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial. Jurors deciding whether to kill Moussaoui in the name of the people of the United States recessed their deliberations Friday without reaching a decision. It was their second day considering the evidence after 2.5 weeks of trial in the penalty portion of the case. Deliberations in the case will resume on Monday. Take those Magnetics brand toys away from your small kids. That's the words from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The CPSC issued a recall today for several million Magnatex toy sets. More than 30 small children have choked on the magnets when they came loose from the toys. One child died after the magnets perforated his intestines when he swallowed them. At least three others have required hospitalization. Market Watch reports U.S. corporate profits have increased 21.3% in the past year and now account for the largest share of the national income in 40 years, the Commerce Department said Thursday. It's a big puzzle, said Josh Bivens, an economist for the Economic Policy Institute. If this is a knowledge economy, how come the brains aren't being compensated? Instead, the owners of physical capital are getting the rewards. Despite the flood of cash coming in the door, corporations are investing comparatively little in expanding their operations. While profits are up 21.3% in the past year, labor compensation is up just 5.5%. That's the news on the Horn, the head-on radio network. I'm John Fox.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. 8 happened today? I took a nap. No, seriously, plenty happened today. And based on what happened today, I got an idea. Let's talk about baseball. Now let's talk about professional wrestling. Let's talk about Paris Hilton. I hear she helped out a little kid with the Make-A-Wish Foundation sometime in the recent past. Let's talk. I don't know. What's coming up on The Sopranos? Has anybody seen the new Tony Bourdain program? Read a good book lately? Because I have a feeling that if I start talking about what went down in the Senate Judiciary Committee today, I'm going to, like, chew my tongue into hamburger. And just, we don't want to have that now, do we? No, I had it on the little list. Get up, you know, note to Bob, get up, watch and record Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on censure. Agnes, dear, there in all your Internet Explorer windows that are open there, because they don't do tabbed browsing. That one right there. Yeah, haul that up there. I want to share with you, just for the sheer hell of it, the names of the members of the Democratic side of the Senate Judiciary Committee. See if these are, I mean, are these Democrats with whom you're familiar? Richard J. Durbin, Charles E. Schumer, Russell D. Feingold, Dianne Feinstein, Herbert Cole, Joseph R. Biden Jr., Edward M. Kennedy, and Patrick J. Leahy. Right? Okay. I mean, these are guys we've heard of, right? And women, a woman. Now, last night I did what I often do. I went to the mat defending my party. Today I got up and watched the censure hearings. And just, I mean, I had to get a hot iron skillet and hold it under my chin after a while just so the egg could drip in it and wouldn't go to waste and we could have scrambled eggs from all the damn egg on my face. Oh, yeah, and I still do. I'm not going to go off and become a green. I'm not going to piss away my vote and go off and become a libertarian or a Constitution Party or the Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole party. Oh, no, no, no. I got two choices in this life. I can be a Democrat. I got three choices. I can be a Democrat, I can be a Republican, or I can retire from the process. If you retire from the process and just quit and, yeah, don't vote, don't do, yeah, just let everybody, then you're a real loser. Be a Republican? Me? Me, a Republican? The engines are starting on the grave-spinning mechanisms of about eight generations of my family. Probably going all the way back to Scotland, for all I know. So I got one choice left. I can be a Democrat. Yeah, I know. They count on us. They count on people like me to think this way. Well, people like me think this way because we can't be Republicans. And we refuse to divorce ourselves from our civic duties to participate in our government. But Lord God, Billy Bob, wasn't I about mostly nauseous when I turned on C-SPAN today and rolled our little recording device here? God, I hope nobody tells C-SPAN. And so I sit there and I'm thinking, you know, usually these hearings go Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat. And it's all, you know, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. But I get Jeff Sessions. And I get Orrin Hatch. Then Lindsey Graham, Arlen Specter. And without it, the only Democrat I'd heard from so far was Patrick Leahy. And I'm thinking, boy, I tell you what, they must be really those fire breathing Democrats must sure be laying for it good not to want to give an opening statement. Man, they're going to bring it all out on the examination of the witnesses. Woo wee, boy, this is going to be fun. Nah, it wasn't fun. Sucked. It bit. Because those names I read off, with the exception of Senators Leahy and Feingold, they weren't there. Of course, you probably know this by now. They weren't there. I don't know where they were. Got lost on the way to the hearing? Mugged? Choked on a chicken bone in a chicken salad sandwich at a deli somewhere? Charles Schumer? Not there. Dick Durbin? Not there. Joseph, I will go anywhere there is damned well a television camera. Biden? Not there. And somewhere in some dark, dank corner of the White House basement, Karl Rove is hanging by his vampiric heels and chuckling upside down right now because we just gave George Bush another headline. Another headline for him to beat the gutless Democrats right smack dab over the head with.
Well, they had a censure hearing, see, and their own party wouldn't even show up. Their committee members wouldn't even show up. Wasn't but two Democrats showed up for that hearing. That means they know the American people wants me to spy on them.
So you want to talk baseball? NBA playoffs are coming up.
Head on.
How about your final four picks? How about your last two? Your last two games of the tournament, Florida and George Mason and LSU and UCLA. Ah, mercy. Tell me, who was that, Agnes? Telemarketer? Okay. Well, that's weird. It would come in on line three.
Yeah, wouldn't it, though?
But not, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. Oh, hell, we'll talk about this, because I got a bunch of sound from it. But it's embarrassing, isn't it? It's embarrassing. I mean, we're talking about some of the guns of the party didn't show up for this. Of course, maybe that's why Arlen Specter scheduled it for when he did. I hear there was an immigration debate taking place on the floor of the Senate that maybe they couldn't be pulled away from. For the Constitution! But I do hate it when my party looks like a bunch of sissies. And that's probably being unfair to the sissies. Let's take a break. Your phone calls are, of course, welcome. 877, the number 4. Head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Every time we lie awake, after every hit we take, every
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
He's a man who just loves conservatives, baked, broiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. 19 minutes past the hour. I am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And look, I don't mean to be a downer. I'm Democrat through and through. But I'm embarrassed. I mean, again, I make this reference from time to time. Anybody who sat down with a 12-pack of beer and played an all-night game of Risk with three or four buddies understands a little bit more strategery than apparently what we do. Thanks to Ted Kennedy and Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin and Herb Kohl and Dianne Feinstein and Joe Biden, Yeah, that's all of them. We just gave George another sound bite. We just took another moment to put another pin into the voodoo doll that's wrapped up in the Constitution that they keep in Karl Rove's little office safe. It pisses me off. It just gets under my damn skin. But but the thing is, what do you do about it? You do what you can. You phone, you write. You know, I sat there time after time after time trying to dial some of these senators' offices. I think they knew that they were damned well going to be AWOL. Because it was nothing but busy signals. At Schumer's, at Biden's, at Durbin's, at Feinstein's, at Kent, busy signals. Now, I suppose it's easily enough explained away. Maybe it was people calling about immigration. But I know that those senators were needed in the Judiciary Committee today, and they were so... My God in heaven, George Bush has a less than 40% approval rating. Only about 30% of America still says, yeah, he's my president. He's done a good job, too. Oh, only about 30% of the people. And the Democratic Party is still scared to death, and they think if they just hide in the weeds, it'll all go away. But you know what? It's so much more important than that. It is absolutely so much more important than that. I sat and I took notes. There were some John Dean and Bruce Fine both testified today. And they made it abundantly clear where this is going. You know, Bruce Fine said, let me see if I can find this here for you real quick. Bruce Fine was absolutely brilliant on all of this. Here, I think I've got it. Yeah.
No argument. It comes down to the president's authority to conduct surveillance on a foreign power which has attacked this country, is threatening to attack again, and comes down to the circumstances under which that surveillance can take place. It relies on established case law. It has nothing to do with the prior effort to defend torture under circumstances or even redefine torture down somehow so it wouldn't be real torture.
I could, Mr. Chairman,
circumstances where it was illegal.
I disagree. I think this is not a narrow argument or theory. Basically, the syllogism goes as follows.
Listen to this.
The president has inherent constitutional authority, uncontrollable by Congress, to gather foreign intelligence. One way to gather that is through electronic surveillance.
Now, wait. This is the exact thinking of the Bush administration. And Bruce Fine, who I'll be quite honest, I didn't much care for him during the Clinton impeachment proceedings because he wanted to impeach Clinton, too. Apparently, this guy is really, really nervous about presidential power. But he is a hell of a legal scholar. I mean, little dude looks like he probably got beaten up on the playground every day of his life. I mean, just, you know, he looks like a Saturday Night Live character, bless his little heart. Yeah, he looks like Lisa Loebner's baby brother, if you recall that era. But listen, he's going to lay it out for you and tell you what it means when the President of the United States can spy on anybody that he wants to, what the logical extension of that is.
Another way to gather that is through breaking and entering homes. Another way to gather that is through opening people's mail. Another way to gather that is through torture. The theory that the President has advanced on electronic surveillance applies in spades to every one of those alternate methods. And when the president and his representative have been asked, don't you agree with that? They have not said no. They've simply said, well, we haven't got that far yet.
Thank you,
but
Mr.
they
Chairman.
Could get that far tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
They could get that far tomorrow. I submit to you, they've already gotten that far. They're torturing people. Look at look at the signing statement to the Patriot Act reauthorization that said, naughty, 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 FBI, you can't just go knocking down doors anymore. You've got to give reports on what you do. And George Bush said, the hell they do. Who do you think you are? You ain't going to brief. We're not going to brief Congress on what the FBI does. Man, I'm the president. I'm the monarch. That was used today, too. You heard it in the top of the hour news. Russ Feingold said it straight up. If we don't check the abuses of this highly abusive administration, we no longer have a constitutional system of government. We have a monarch. And I don't understand what's so hard to get out of that. Lindsey Graham, oh my God in heaven. I thought I really despised that loathsome little punk, but I've got a whole brand new level of despicableness to hold out for him now. Sat there and tried to character assassinate John Dean. Now John Dean has hung with some real scum. And, you know, Lindsey Graham. Now I'll play that for you later too. Right now, let's go to the phones. Andy, our good friend in Wales, is with us. Hey, Andy, you're head on. Welcome back.
Hey, man, how's it going? You all right?
Going well. You?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Now I've got over my slight mismatch with the temporal reality of this universe.
Yeah, they slipped in a time change on you.
I'm not a farmer. It doesn't apply to me, you know. I rarely surface before 2 in the afternoon if I can possibly avoid it. I'm a night owl. Well, I have to be. I'm listening to you.
That's true.
Yes. But anyway, no, let's on to business. No, we're not going to talk about baseball. I don't understand it. And no. I'm sure you could explain it to me.
Well, you can tell. Yeah, we can try cricket.
Well, the cricket's boring.
Yeah, frankly. It'd take us all night to explain a googly to me.
Well, actually...
Don't try.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wouldn't be that hard, but no, I'm not going to. No, we have to talk about this, obviously. And as to your Democrats and my Liberal Democrats, they make it really tough, don't they?
Yeah, if you don't... I remember in American history, during the Civil War, Lincoln took a lot of grief for putting Ulysses Grant in charge of the army because everybody, oh, he's drunk, he's crazy, man. And, you know, why do you keep him, Abe? And Abe had been through McClellan and Meade and Burnside and finally he got down to Grant, who may have been everything they said, but he said, they said, why do you keep him? He's a liability. And Lincoln's only response was two words, Andy. He said, he fights.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people were making the same comments about Churchill. You know, oh, he's a drunk. Well, yeah, but that doesn't matter if he can do what he needs to do.
Get the job done.
Well, that's the point. I mean, people put so many ridiculous sort of... regulation, rules, moral codes on things. It's like it really doesn't matter whether Mr. Clinton and Miss Lewinsky did do anything in that office or not, because Mr. Clinton was actually quite good for America. I mean, he was horrible, but you know, I'm not anti-capitalist, but I'm anti-corporatist. You know,
right?
You understand the difference?
Yes.
We're all intelligent people here. Making money's fine. Taking everything is wrong. And, you know, he was blatantly a capitalist, like a corporatist type. He's not quite as bad as Monkey Boy Bush, but, I mean, Bush is being led around by the nose by Rove et al. You know why Dick Cheney had to get back into office, don't you?
Well,
I've heard something that just points out why he should and why the war in Iraq was so profitable for Halliburton. He made a really bad buy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, W.R. Grace.
That cost them hundreds of millions of dollars or something. They wanted that back. I mean, it might even be thousands of millions of dollars when you factor in what it sort of wasn't worth on top of
it. Oh, yeah, it was nothing but one great big asbestos suit.
Yeah, basically.
It took legislation going into the Senate That's how bad it got with W.R. Grace's liabilities. And they weren't just liabilities here in the U.S. I mean, granted, they poisoned the entire town of Libby, Montana, but there are huge asbestos claims that are outstanding in the U.K. from W.R.
Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah, and they're going to lose as well. Because they're being claimed in the British High Court, and they're not exactly soft on business, do you know what I mean? They're not soft on anyone, to be fair. you know, if you're guilty, you're
just a bunch of mean people.
Yeah, well, they're mean old rich judges, do you know what I mean? They have very little contact with the outside world, and they're pretty much... I mean, I like our justice system, because most of our judges are pretty much uncorruptible. So, you know, they're
so rich they can't be bribed.
Well, that's the point. That's what a constitutional guardian and the judge should be. Do you know what I mean? I want those people to be on the top end of society, and I want them to realize that everything they have comes from society, and therefore they do everything they can to protect us. You know, that's their job. It's too easy for corporations to.
But no, you're absolutely right, Andy. There is a plausible argument about the profiteering of Halliburton arising out of W.R. Grace. And W.R. Grace, of course, was Dick Cheney's big idea.
Yeah. I mean, it was apparently all his idea.
It's another one of those things that went down during one of his little bird-killing trips.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to remember, these people are what? Evil and stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people say don't use the word stupid because you're calling all people who support them stupid, and that's not actually true. Because, I mean, the word stupid doesn't mean ignorant. The word stupid means stupid. It's different. It's not the same. I mean, somebody who's ignorant of the fact because all they get is 20 minutes of Fox News at night when they're tired, or even 20 minutes of CNN when they're tired, they're not stupid. They're simply uninformed. You know, stupidity is difficult to describe, but the sort of people that exhibit the stupidity at the top of the American and the British systems are what somebody once called the intelligentsia, which basically translates as people who've been educated beyond their abilities.
Well, you've heard of the Peter Principle, haven't you?
Go on.
The Peter Principle, it was a guy named Peter who developed it. He said that every person will eventually rise to the highest level of their own ineptitude, I believe.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, the Bush administration and the neocons are the Peter Principle in spades.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the only seemingly efficient member of the entire neoconservative movement was Francis Fukuyama, and he's no longer a neocon. He says it was a waste of time, they should never have done it, and he's terribly, terribly sorry.
Well, and there's more than just him, but that is a notable example of what has happened to them. But yeah, they're incompetent, and it's the earnestness with which they put forward ideas like, we can torture anybody we want to. I heard inherent powers of the presidency so many times during that hearing today, Andy, I was ready to scream.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm kind of glad I don't actually get American TV over here, because we get the kind of, you know, the very bare essentials kind of cut down on the news. They showed us like a Republican and a Democrat saying something about it, and the Democrat basically sounded like a whiner and the Republican sounded like a fool. So, you know, what can you do? I mean, hey, at least the BBC have...
Well, the sad thing, though, is the Beeb probably made it seem as though, they showed one Democrat, they showed one Republican, therefore there must have been an equal number of Democrats and Republicans there.
Oh, no, they stated that it's all totally Republican-weighted and, you know, the whole system's rigged against the Democrats. The BBC are not afraid of, like, saying that. I mean, the other day, Newsnight was referring to the so-called war on terror rather than the war on terror, which is quite a shift in language for the BBC.
Yeah, that is big.
It's been reported on the main news on the rolling news channel, BBC News 24, as the so-called war on terror a few times as well.
Well, we had the inherent powers of the presidency, and then you couldn't get five words out of a Republican this morning, Andy.
Without inherent powers.
Well, without that, or following it with, and of course he's the president in time of war. And that's another one that makes me want to scream.
He's the president in time of war, peace, and anything in between. He is the president, stolen and handed by the Supreme Court and Diebold.
But if you look at the U.S. Constitution, Andy, and you see where it says, you know, and in time of war he shall act as the commander in chief of the armed forces.
Hmm.
little bitty statement. And these people who say that if it's not explicitly written in the Constitution, like you have a right to an abortion, or a woman has a right to an abortion, that therefore that right doesn't exist. But when it comes to just making crap up out of whole cloth, they'll take "and shall be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces during time of war." And next thing you know, that means that he can spy on you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the utter insanity of the arguments that we hear over here. I mean, because we get the full argument, sort of, you know, whatever they're making, the whole unitary executive argument that was going on a few months ago and all that. I mean, I see straight through it. I think most people in Britain would agree, you know. But it is just so obviously playground logic, you know?
Yeah.
It's
acid freak logic.
No, man. Come on. Look, I know acid freaks. Look, who's winning the war on drugs? The people on drugs or the people off drugs?
Oh, the people on drugs.
There we go.
Well, that's...
criticize those acid freaks. They're
okay. Well,
creative. Yeah.
Well said, my brother, because it reminds me... I was driving around. I was driving home the other night from somewhere. Maybe went out to the grocery store after the show or something. And it popped into my head. Here's the long and the short of it. Drunk driving is a big thing that we're concerned about in the United States. And you know,
yeah, we're getting on top of it.
And every now and then you'll hear 48% of all fatal accidents in the United States are caused by drunk drivers. Well, hell's bells, Andy. That means that 52% are done by people who are rock stone cold sober.
Absolutely. Let's face it, right? People driving a car are dangerous. I mean, do you want to hear about our car laws over here? I mean, we're ridiculous. There was a 36-year-old guy driving his motorbike, pulling off from the lights, and a car decided, and the guy admitted this in court, "I took the chance. I thought I could beat him," and he didn't indicate, and he slammed into this motorcyclist broadside and killed him instantly. Do you know how long, how much of a penalty that guy took? Take a guess.
I can't. A year, maybe?
No. He had a £100 fine, and because he pleaded guilty at the earliest opportunity, it was reduced by 20% to £80. That's about $150.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Because, you see, a car is not considered a lethal weapon. So he was driving without insurance and without having passed a test in Britain or anywhere. Okay? Just as unqualified to use a vehicle as you could possibly have. And our insurance policy over here is pretty tough. You can't just hop in somebody else's car unless you've paid huge amounts of cash, yeah?
Yeah.
So he was driving a totally uninsured car, and he got an £80 fine. And he's banned from taking a test or driving for a year.
Wow.
Now, if he'd have been drunk, yeah?
Yeah.
He would have been prosecuted on the more serious charge than killing someone of driving a vehicle while intoxicated. And he would have been put away for like 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah, see that's just—it's
insane.
It's bass backwards.
Hang on a second. If some person in a club sells somebody a pill, and that person dies, the person in the club can be prosecuted for manslaughter or murder.
Yeah.
You see, we're just as a society. I suspect it's somewhat similar over there for the drugs charges.
No, sure. Well, I mean, it's even better over here. A white guy caught with 3 grams of powder cocaine goes to prison. I'm just pulling this out of the air, but goes to prison for like 1/3 of the time that a black guy caught with 3 grams of rock cocaine.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Or crack.
We have the same problem of ethnic overrepresentation amongst the Afro-Caribbean sort of population of Britain, but we're nowhere near as bad as America is, and I believe we're kind of getting on top of our problems. We're certainly trying. But there's a whole industry growing up out of farming young black males in prisons, isn't there?
Well, sure, absolutely. Yeah, but this is all just, it's all symptomatic, Andy.
Mm.
You
know how you can destroy the entire argument for the war on drugs with Republican types and conservative types?
How's that?
You say to them, "It costs however many billions it costs." I'll use British numbers because I know them. It costs, just for cannabis, £13 billion a year to prosecute and arrest people using and selling cannabis. If the government was to sell cannabis of the same or higher quality for the same prices for weight, the government would make £14 billion a year. Now, if you combine those two numbers together, that's £27 billion a year that we could split, say, 50-50 between health and education.
Yeah.
And suddenly, people using drugs isn't such an unattractive prospect.
Well, no, it's not. And I mean, you know, to go back to our original premise, you know, these people, I got into this whole thing by saying they're like acid freaks.
Yes,
I mean, they're just people divorced from reality.
Yes,
Andy.
They are. They're not connected. They've never known what reality actually is because they live in that world of, you know, mama and papa have told them what is, and all their mates have had exactly the same. I mean, you know, a lot of the younger ones studied under Paul Wolfowitz, and Paul Wolfowitz studied under Leo Strauss et al. And, you know, you can see this kind of line of this Nazi-like.
Well, yeah, it's just this hateful line of begats, like something out of the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can...
And Strauss begat Wolfowitz, and Wolfowitz begat Rice, and Rice begat, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, well, I mean, Strauss was blatantly a Nazi. I mean, I don't really care what person would disagree with me, because he just obviously was. He believed that you had to keep the population scared. That is Nazi-like tendencies.
No,
if
sure.
If I was going to rule a country or the world or whatever, say I was going to rule America and I wanted to do it as the monarch of America, I wouldn't rule through fear. What a ridiculous idea that is. You need a huge army, you need to keep killing people, and they're going to revolt. But you rule through keeping them all fat, stupid, and happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like... something that was said in the hearing today. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay. You mentioned fear. Here we go.
He thinks supporters of the program persist almost every day in suggesting to the public, which does not understand the law as well as some do here, that the administration had to violate FISA in order to do overseas surveillance.
What? I think they're trying to frighten the public into thinking that in the absence of this evasion of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, we couldn't spy on Al-Qaeda abroad and intercept their communications. This is the signature hypothetical. If Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, you expect us to stop listening if an American hangs up. That's insinuating that, well, FISA would require that. The fact is, it's never required it, it shouldn't require it, and it never will require it. The Fourth Amendment does not apply outside the United States.
Precisely. This intentional distortion of what the law really is with regard to foreign intelligence is part of the reason why something like censure is necessary.
But, you know, Bruce Fine is correct.
No, that's absolutely straight, yeah. I mean, it's classic Rovian tactic to do that dodge on the reality of it. I mean, I remember when people were asking Bush questions, you know, the occasional press conference, and he'd get up there and stumble his way through something to the effect of, "We had to do it because if we didn't do it, people would blow something up in America," is essentially what he's insinuating every time. And, you know that that's just, again, playground logic.
It's terror logic. These guys can't come from any position but fear.
No, absolutely. But playground logic is all about fear. It's all about the biggest bully claiming the reality of the playground.
Oh, yeah, without a
doubt. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to claim the world is their playground, and they're going to set the reality. You know, I mean, Leo Strauss read Big Brother, 1984. Wolfowitz has read 1984. George Bush has probably had it read to him at night.
Well, he got the comic book version.
The audio tape or something. Yeah, he can listen to it while he's riding his bike.
Yeah, or in his footy pajamas, sure. No, you're right. I mean, that's just I'm convinced that there's a whole bunch of books out there that the rest of the world knows what it, you know, the reading public knows what it means to read them, you know, whether it's 1984 or Brave New World, or even Catch 22. These are all books that are meant to be taken one way, and they got it completely wrong. You know,
absolutely.
These people think 1984 is a field manual.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, one of the reasons I'm so worried by these people is because they don't seem to be able to divorce fact from fiction. Because I don't know if you know him, there's a sci-fi writer from Britain called Peter F. Hamilton.
Not familiar.
Check out his books. He writes about the near future, sort of the next 100 to 400 years or so. And sort of the ones in the next 100 are, you know, the warming's happened and corporations are making huge amounts of money out of it. I'm convinced that these people have read these books and want to build huge domes over our cities and keep us all hemmed in and use us as, you know, little pet corporate population.
Yeah, air conditioning brought to you by Halliburton.
Bingo.
Hey, Andy, we're out of time here, brother.
Cool, man.
All right, take care.
Love to all. Take care, mate.
All right, have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye.
Bye, man.
Brave New World, my left hind foot. expensive new world, dangerous new world. New world designed on the Carnival Midway. That's what all of this is. Thank you, Bruce Fine. They're just trying to scare people. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This week on Fourth Estate Radio, historian, author, and lefty stirrer, Humphrey McQueen.
You take those Coca-Cola plants in Guatemala. Time and time again, someone's tried to organize a little union. They either come out and they shoot them, they abduct their kids, they rape their daughters. There's a whole range of levels on which they do this. Now, you'd think when this had happened the first time, you'd think, well, the bloke didn't know any better. But
the benefit of the doubt first time.
Then 5 years later, someone else does it.
Yeah.
You think, has he forgotten that sort of the kind of thing that's going to happen to him? Why do they do that? That seems to me to be more remarkable than the fact that you're pointing to the fact that most of the American working class at the moment are pretty quiescent.
Join us Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady?
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Because liberals built America. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
I've got three solid pages of notes. And we're gonna go straight back to the phones in just a second. I want to see if I can find this one particular soundbite for you, however. This is early on in the process. It may take me just a minute or so, but it all starts off with Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions, that unreconstructed racist.
For cells that may exist in our nation, cells who may be capable of inflicting the most grievous wounds on our country.
Grievous.
And that remains true to this day.
I like my grievous
all
with biscuits.
All of this has been openly discussed and discussed in even more detail in the appropriate intelligence committees. There is no serious contention that the program should stop, as the facts have been better understood, such as the fact that the calls involved are international calls. Concern in the Congress and of our people has drastically abated from the hysteria after the first announcement in a most serious breach of security that revealed the nature of this critical program. So So I would suggest we'd better spend our time investigating how top-secret programs such as this, a program fully shared with congressional leaders...
Liar. You damn liar. It was not fully shared with congressional leaders. It most assuredly was not. But you see, that's the thing with these stump liquor intoxicated right wing Republican freak legislators. Oh, microphones in front of them. Oh, that's an opportunity to tell a big old honking lie. That's all it is.
It was breached and provided to the media and revealed throughout the world. I just returned from my fourth trip to Iraq. We had many soldiers. We met many soldiers there who at risk.
Bloody shirt, anybody? Wave the bloody shirt, Jeff Sessions. Wave it, baby. Wave the bloody shirt.
This very day, trying to protect America and to fight.
No, no. Now, wait. Stop it, Jeff Sessions, you damn liar. Trying to protect America? I thought Saddam was gone. Saddam was what was the threat against America, wasn't it? Don't you remember, Jeff, buddy? That's what you got up in the Senate and hollered about in, what was it, October of 2003? Oh, Saddam is going to get my mama. Oh, goodness me. Gracious sakes alive, Saddam is coming to get me. Whatever shall we do? Did everything but put on a window curtain and come down the stairs. I mean, Jesus, Scarlet, you terrified little sissy.
And they fight every day to help the people of Iraq create a safe and decent...
They fight every day to help the people of Iraq create a safe and decent... Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, we are... Who are we being protected against, Jeff? We got rid of your boogeyman, didn't we?
Government against attacks by the same terrorists who attacked us.
Ah! 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 I'm going to stick my head in that bucket of lime. I'm going to pluck my eyeballs out and run screaming off a cliff. Did you? Oh, back up. Just back up a little bit.
By the same terrorist who attacked us.
He's talking about Iraq. Remember, this whole thing started with, I just came back from Iraq, and our soldiers are fighting against the very same persons who attacked us.
Not one of those soldiers asked that I should censure the president against attacks by the same terrorist who attacked us.
Need we say more? Are we pretty close to done now? I tell you what... I'm not going to lose my place on that one. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
hanging on to sanity by a thread, Jim.
You got a fire extinguisher handy?
Just about.
How about Xanax? You got some Xanax handy?
I got some intravenous tequila, man.
Whoa. Well, shotgun it. you don't need to if you keep on going like this. You know, I just wanted to change. If you don't mind, I'd like to break the stride here for a second.
That's quite all right.
Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
I saw Good Night and Good Luck last night.
Did you love it?
And it was absolutely incredible. I mean, the guy who played Murrah was Murrah, and the other people, they did an outstanding job. I mean, George Clooney and Jeff Daniels and, you know, and Frank Langella played Bill Paley. And, you know, that whole thing was just shot in a very short period of time on a very small set. But it was very effective. And the newsreels of McCarthy during the Army-McCarthy hearings, particularly when Welch turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Roy Cohn was sitting right next to him, that little creep. And he made fools out of them. Boy, talk about getting ambushed on your way to your own ambush. Boy, Welch made short shrift of them. And, but what really struck me about that movie is the McCarthy spirit is very much alive in the people who rule this country today, in my opinion. I mean, these
well, they take their cues from him. After all,
these neocons are nothing in the world to me but resurrected McCarthyites.
Well, and Coulter wrote a book, what, 2-3 years ago, attempting to rehabilitate the reputation of McCarthy?
I know. I was fixing to say that. I mean, you know, I don't know where that woman's head is, so I can tell you where, but you have a surgeon to get it out of where it is, but, I mean, that's exactly where her head is. And I don't know why people lionize her, because she doesn't deserve it, because anyone who would try to rehabilitate that man, I mean, he was an absolute idiot. And, you know, and Cohn was just the worst people that I've ever seen in my life. There's a film called Citizen Cohn starring James Woods.
I've seen that, yes.
Well, these movies need to be shown in tandem together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just incredible what a job they did, and I'm sorry they did not get greater recognition at the Academy Awards. I really am.
Well, but I think the recognition, this is meant to be a cautionary tale, Jim.
Of course it is, and I mean, George Clooney and these guys got together, and, you know, and then they had a trailer to the movie, you know, after the DVD, you know, you have things you can look, play, and they discussed the making of the movie, and they said as much.
Well, you know, it's a warning whose time has certainly come. Russ Feingold, was so, did you see any of this today?
No, I didn't. I was, tell you the truth, I don't know what I did today. I had to just do chores and stuff and didn't even look at TV. I didn't even cut it on today.
Well, I tell you what, Jim, this was, it was just shameful. It was just shameful to hear. I mean, this kind of sputum that comes out of Jeff Sessions. He's an embarrassment, and you know what? He's an embarrassment to the South in particular.
Where is he from?
Mobile,
Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Mobile, Alabama.
Well, he's just, I guess, a part of, or a part and parcel, or a product of what was Nixon's Southern strategy.
Well, I tell you what, it was successful. I mean, this guy was a federal prosecutor down there. Maybe started out even as a state prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine this guy standing up in front of a jury, Jim, and making anything relating to a cogent argument in a criminal case. But then again, maybe I can, because what he does is he appeals to the basest emotions in anyone remotely related to a human being. Because the only thing he can do is play fear. He's mad. This man is angry that the American people now know that George Bush is spying on them.
Well, most people are when you catch them doing something or they realize they've been caught. They get angry. They get very, very defensive and very ugly. And, you know,
but he's
when the mask drops, it's not a very pretty massage to look upon.
He's a disgrace to the fighting spirit that the South is so proud of. You know, that fierce independence, and nobody's going to shove us around. And
I don't know about that.
And all he can do is toady up to the White House. He doesn't even want to be a member of the Senate, Jim. He wants to be a member of the Bush administration.
Well, I mean, obviously his rewards are there, and not in being a member of the Senate. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, these guys aren't there to represent the people. They're there to represent themselves and their own private interests. And when they get to Washington, their heads are so turned by so many things and distractions and, you know, gifts, sinecures, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. It's just like, you know, bribes. I mean, like I said, or somebody else said, we've just got the best government that money can buy.
Well, that's about the size of it. And Jim, we're up against the top of our hour, but
well, I tell you what, I want to call you back in about 5 minutes, and I want to read what is called the Lawyer's Prayer.
All right, I'd like to hear that.
Which should be, I think, the prayer of any person who is in any way connected with the law or the government.
I'll tell you what, let me just put you on hold, okay, through the news, all right?
And I'll get it, okay?
Okay, okay, stand by.
All right, out here.
All right, let's go, let's check out the news. And when we come back, of course, your phone calls are always welcome. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. And I haven't even gotten to the good part of Jeff Sessions yet. Jesus. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. Yes, I will. Keep on singing by.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Head on Radio News, I'm John Fox. Censuring George Bush. That was the topic Friday when the House Judiciary Committee met to consider the resolution offered by Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold. Feingold put the issue squarely in perspective with his opening remarks.
If the president's legal theory, which is shared by some of our witnesses today, is correct, then FISA is a dead letter. All of the supposed protections for civil liberties contained in the reauthorization of the Patriot Act that we just passed are a cruel hoax. Under this theory, we no longer have a constitutional system. We have a monarchy.
Only one other Democrat, Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, showed up for the hearing. The two Democrats were opposed by several Republicans, none of whom dared call George Bush into account. Another Republican is headed up the river. Tom DeLay's former press secretary pled guilty Friday to mail fraud in connection with activities he undertook with DeLay's close friend, Jack Abramoff. Tony Rudy joined Abramoff and others in a scam to influence Congress and defraud clients. Rudy faces no more than 5 years in prison for trying to subvert the U.S. government. Iran test-fired a new missile Friday. Reports from Tehran say the weapon can disperse multiple warheads hitting several targets simultaneously. Western experts aren't certain, but they say the missile may have enough range to hit Israel or U.S. bases in the Middle East. People relive the pain of 9/11 Friday. The city of New York released a set of compact discs containing the audio from emergency dispatch calls received during the World Trade Center collapse. The discs comprise some 130 calls made to fire and police dispatchers. Only the dispatch side of the audio was released. Of all the people who placed the calls, 28 people have been identified. Of those, only one survived. A court has left it up to the next of kin whether to release the other parts of the calls. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the Bush administration has made, in her words, thousands of mistakes. Rice confessed the administration's ineptitude in a speech Friday in Blackburn, England. She was a guest of the Chatham Institute, a UK think tank. Despite the thousands of bungled decisions, Rice said the only one that mattered was the decision to overthrow the Iraqi government. Protesters greeted the fashion plate diplomat with queries of, "Hey Condi, how many children did you kill today?" Add one more to the number of Iraqis dead at the hands of the United States. An elderly prisoner at George Bush's Abu Ghraib prison died of an apparent heart attack Friday. Other prisoners reported that the man was having difficulty breathing. He died after he was transported to the prison's medical unit. The Army's Central Criminal Investigation Division is looking into the death. This is news on the Horn.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show?
Home radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP... That's stealing. Or have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties or you'll be
stealing music.
Band up!
Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
George Bush is offering to help Iran following the earthquakes there Friday. Bush said, quote, "I want to offer my country's assistance to the people affected by the recent earthquakes in Iran," unquote. He added, quote, "We do care about the suffering of the Iranian people," unquote. At least 66 people are dead and more than 1,400 have been injured by the quakes. Still no verdict in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial. Jurors deciding whether to kill Moussaoui in the name of the people of the United States recessed their deliberations Friday without reaching a decision. It was their second day considering the evidence after 2.5 weeks of trial in the penalty portion of the case. Deliberations in the case will resume on Monday. Take those Magnetix brand toys away from your small kids. That's the words from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The CPSC issued a recall today for several million Magnetix toy sets. More than 30 small children have choked on the magnets when they came loose from the toys. One child died after the magnets perforated his intestines when he swallowed them. At least three others have required hospitalization. Market Watch reports U.S. corporate profits have increased 21.3% in the past year and now account for the largest share of the national income in 40 years, the Commerce Department said Thursday. It's a big puzzle, said Josh Bivens, an economist for the Economic Policy Institute. If this is a knowledge economy, how come the brains aren't being compensated? Instead, the owners of physical capital are getting the rewards. Despite the flood of cash coming in the door, corporations are investing comparatively little in expanding their operations. While profits are up 21.3% in the past year, labor compensation is up just 5.5%. That's the news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, we're back. The newscast alone could keep me busy for about 6 hours worth of radio. Damn. Oh, and by the way, a little follow-up to the kind of sleazy rice story in Blackburn, Lancashire. Well, most of you of a certain age are well familiar with the Beatles' A Day in the Life. There's a reference to Blackburn. And something about I always thought it was holes in Blackburn, Lancashire, but it turns out it's hose. And the reference was prophecy. Who knew that John and Paul were prophets? But yeah, they are. They were. There has been a hoe in Blackburn, Lancashire, to wit, Condi Rice. But no, as a follow-up to that story, she was going to visit a mosque, but the folks who actually attend the mosque said, you know, nobody asked us, and we don't want that awful woman anywhere near our place of worship. And why anyone would, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, pick 'em. Why you'd want any member of the Bush administration anywhere near something that is deemed to be approaching the sacred is beyond me. Jim had one more thing for us. Hey, Jim, welcome back.
Yeah, this is entitled A Lawyer's Prayer, and it's a very simple writing. Lord, grant that I may be able in argument, accurate in analysis, strict in study, candid with clients, and honest with adversaries. Sit with me at my desk and listen with me to my clients' plaints. Read with me in my library and stand beside me in court, so that today I shall not, in order to win a point, lose my soul.
Very nicely.
Sir, and you know who wrote that?
Who was it?
Thomas More.
Thomas More. I thought as much because that was the red mask that Fat Tony Soprano, or Scalia, rather, attended just this past weekend. Are you familiar with that story, Jim?
No.
Yeah, he's walking out of a cathedral. It was the Red Mass, you know, the lawyer's mass. And he's walking out, and a reporter asked him a question, and he gave him the bafangul, you know, the three fingers under the chin. The Italian gesture,
yeah,
and was caught in it, and oh no, that's not what I was doing. I wasn't making an obscene gesture in a cathedral or nothing. And the photograph is out there, and now the Boston Archdiocese has fired the photographer for releasing the photo of this immoral SOB.
That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
He would do something like that. Well, that proves just exactly the type of people that are in government today. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can take that lawyer's prayer that I just read and you can apply it to any person who's in any office of the government, civil service, or whatever, or just as a guide for daily living in your dealings with your fellow man.
Yeah, it's good. It is a manifestation of humility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, I wish you a good night and a nice weekend. And
well, you too. And I'm just going to try to keep from blowing a blood vessel, that's all.
Well, don't do that now. I remember, it's not worth that, my God. I mean, these people are just going to continue on and on and on and on and on until they just, I don't know, they're like whirling dervishes. I hope they just, like ruffled silks, can just root themselves on the ground and disappear. I wish it would. I mean,
devoutly, Jim, devoutly.
I wish fairy tales would come true, you know, because,
yeah.
I mean, just one other thing. Boy, Bush, taking Air Force One down to Cancun, really came back with a lot, didn't he?
Well, yeah, well you know what, a couple of cases of Corona, wasn't it?
Or Dos Equis, whichever. But anyway, he didn't come back. I mean, you know, that man is in such trouble all over the world. Everything he's touched has turned to, well...
caca.
Exactly. And all his political capital has just evaporated. It's gone. And these people like Fox and these other leaders in the world, they don't have any respect for him. And they're just... and they're basically...
Well, and Vincenzo...
I know that.
And Fox is a lame duck anyway. What was going to get a... this was George Bush's spring break, Jim.
Well, yeah, he wanted to go to Cancun and stay at this lovely hotel and, you know, take Air Force One down there and enjoy whatever and get up there in posture. And, you know, it's just nuts. And now there are people who are, this is real popular, they're saying, trying to say the Mexicans want to take back the Southwest Territories that we took from them.
Well, there's a little element called the Aztlan movement, but no, that's not affiliate. No, not hardly. Not hardly.
But I mean, it's just, and then on the other extreme, I heard this morning from our mutual friend, who will be nameless, that we ought to just go over ahead and take over Mexico and, you know, make it part of the United States. I mean, he actually said that on the air.
Oh, you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not.
I got to start taping him, Jim. You guys.
Somebody needs to.
No. There's a worldwide audience here that would absolutely fall flat on the floor laughing. Yeah,
well, I mean, you know, I couldn't believe he said it, you know.
Yucatan or bust.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, he said that he won, and he went into some detail how he would, you know, administer the provinces and make the states of the United States of Mexico. What? I don't know what he called it.
Oh, dear God.
And I thought to myself, well, I said, you know, maybe you ought to go down there and be one of the governors, and you could stand where Maximilian
is. I was just about to say, yeah, good old Maximilian. That's,
yeah, ask him about what happens to people who go in that part of the world.
Such a lovely
something, you know?
Yeah, such a lovely day.
Yeah, right. You get a bullet right in the heart. But I mean, when he said that, I thought to myself, you know, you have got to be absolutely stark raving out of your mind.
Yippers.
But he's serious.
Oh, my God. Jim, thanks so much. Have a great night. Bye now.
God bless.
You too. See ya. And Bob, hey, Bob, you're head on. So thanks for waiting. Yeah, there are people, there are conservatives in West Virginia who want to take over Mexico.
Really? Sadness. A deep, 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 profound sadness. That people in one nation should want to conquer another nation for their what? Wealth?
Sure.
Yeah, That's a deep, profound sadness. It goes back so far. It's biblical, is it not?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass, neither covet thou his petroleum reserves.
Well, leave my ass alone, please, Bob. it's old.
Oh, geez, this is going to be a rough Friday. I got Bob doing one-liners now.
No, hey, Jim is straight up, and Andy out of the UK. Oh, goodness. I love him. I really do.
Without any doubt whatsoever. And until Jim mentioned it, Bob, I had not considered exactly what that summit meeting in Cancun was all about. It was George's spring break, because he thought, yeah, he was going to go down there and see some of those girls that he sees the advertisements about late night on Comedy Central going, woo!
Another beer bust.
Oh, it drove me crazy. There was a photograph of him and Fox and whoever, the right winger that's in Canada now, all standing on the blocks of a Mayan pyramid near Cancun, and it just drove me bananas.
No.
Yeah, standing on a Mayan pyramid, that monument of learning, that monument of knowledge and
of death.
Well, yeah, there's the occasional blood sacrifice, sure.
Yeah,
but every culture has its problems.
Occasional? No, it wasn't.
Okay, 28,000 in a day, all right?
Yeah, okay.
But that was the Mexica, not the Maya.
We're going deep into history, are we not?
Oh, I can march into my pre-Columbian past.
I know. And there was so much murder and lust for territory and lust for, goodness, like we're doing here in this nation, Bob. We have given up the idea of self-defense and gone on to, what is that word?
Empire?
That's the word. We want to be better than the other guy.
Empire. No, we just want to own the other guy.
Yeah, but we want to be better than the Roman Empire. We want to be everything. We want to own the planet.
And well, I tell you what, it's going to get a little bit tougher, because if there's any truth in the news coming out of Iran today, they just test-fired a brand-new missile that we don't even want to think about.
Oh, hey, I'm not worried about Iran. I'm worried about global warming. I'm worried about what you didn't listen to when Jimmy Carter told you. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Carter put it straight up. He says, hey, we got to do something other than go after oil, right?
Yep.
And, you know, they're talking about, we're living in I'm living in the Williston Basin. We talked about it, okay? We ship oil north so it can be re-imported into America from Canada. And that's a fact.
No, that's straight out of Catch-22.
Yeah, we ship oil from North Dakota, the Williston Basin, all into Canada so it can be shipped back into America. And these dumb sheeple don't realize that their own resources are being fed back to them, because they're going to get their $2.50 a gallon gasoline at the gas station and saying, oh, it's wonderful, it's only $2.50. I'm glad it's not $2.52.
It just hit $2.55 for us.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's $2.59, Mom says. $2.59, you know?
I know.
In 2 days, it jumped 10 cents, Linda says. And that's so stupid. You people, I'm sitting in the middle of Williston Basin, and we're pumping oil north, and they're pumping it back to us.
Well, see, this is a classic proof of what I said. There is a passage, and it is absolutely hilarious, in Joseph Heller's Catch-22. where Milo Minderbinder, who is running M&M Enterprises, buys eggs in Malta for 4 cents apiece and sells them in Lebanon for 2 cents apiece and clears a profit for the syndicate. And it's funny because it's impossible. These guys thought it was a handbook. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. Bob, you're living in the world of the... Hey, welcome to... What, dear? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, she's trying to...
No, yeah, that's right. The oil from Alaska goes to Japan.
Yes. And we... It is... You people are so... No, not you, Bob. Not you.
Not us.
Not those in the know.
No, okay? the doofuses that voted for George Bush, among others.
I got this beautiful, downloaded a picture off the internet here, and it's got these sheep standing in front of a what is that thing you put on your wall? It's like a DVD. No, it's better than DVD. It's a high definition.
Oh, projection.
Yeah, one of them big projection sets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's about four or five of the sheep, and they're sheep standing in front of the screen staring at Bush as he gives one of his, I don't know what. Bob, I can get real incoherent.
That's okay. I've followed you so far.
But I can get real incoherent. I can just run around the house, babble, throw off my clothes, run around my underwear.
And still be more sane than anybody standing in the White House.
Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can get both hands in the air and get all in the spirit and start speaking in tongues and drinking the strychnine and handling the serpents. And I am still 1,000 times saner. Because I don't care what I do, I will never be as crazy as Jeff Sessions.
No, you won't. No, no, no. I couldn't even get that crazy if I was running around the house in my underwear.
And that's probably more visual than most of the audience wanted, Bob.
Well, they did need to hear it, but they really did. They really did.
Hey, Bob, we got to roll, brother.
Stupidity comes in very large quantities. But the people that I listen to on this network aren't stupid. They're just, I think they're mesmerized by the idea that these guys are in charge. And it's time that you just, if you got a dumb guy next to you and he's talking stupid, you just, hey, it's enough. Don't talk stupid, Jeff Sessions. Please do not do that. Not in my Congress, not in my Senate. Please do not do that. And there's so many of these so-called Democrats that they don't have any courage anymore, Bob. They don't have any courage.
Nope, they don't.
And that's the problem. They've kind of rolled over like, I don't know,
Bruce Fein said that today at one point, Bob. He said, if nothing else, I would be upset from an institutional standpoint as a member of Congress to be getting treated the way that the Bush administration's treating the Congress.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, these people have no shame. Orrin Hatch? I've gotten to where I absolutely lose my mind at the very sight of that freak.
But don't lose your mind. Realize what you're dealing with. Rats. Rats and cockroaches. And if your house is full of rats and cockroaches, don't call Tom DeLay because all he'll do is join him.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's got his own private stock of paraquat and malathion, a little bit of decon, all cocktailed up.
He will not solve your problem. He will just continue it.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that's the worst thing. If you allow the problem to continue, then you're part of the problem.
Well, I tend to concur, but at least, you know, at least we can talk about what the problem is. Bob, yes. We got to roll along, brother.
Okay.
Have a good weekend now.
You too. And hey, I'm listening next Saturday.
Yep, Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday.
And Fourth Estate at 10 on Monday, 10 Eastern, Tuesday, and then all things Tuesday, at 10 Friday, on Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. My goodness, Glenda said, "You are God."
Now quit that. We'll talk to you later, and I can give our best to Glenda, please.
Oh, she loves you, Bob. She loves you. She loves listening to your voice. And hey, you know who she loves more than me?
Agnes.
You betcha. She loves that girl. She says, "Dang, she could just tuck her under her arm and, you know, kind of show her on the farm."
I love that.
Sounds like fun. Bob, hey, have a great weekend. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye now. And, look, Agnes, we're in luck. We've gotten an email. We've gotten an email from, it's a winning notification. I have been directed to inform you, Bob Kincaid, about the World Ride Foundation just concluded annual final draws of the Lotto Ride Program. We have been approved for a lump sum payout of £1 million. And this has got to be real because he's not in Nigeria or the Philippines. Oh, God, such silliness. Oh, I'm sorry. Such confusion. I apologize. No, let's
pay attention to Agnes for a minute.
Well, I'm paying attention to Agnes, dear, but I'm going back to Jeff Sessions because I just like him so much. Let's get a little, because we haven't gotten to the fun part yet.
Not one of those soldiers asked that I should censure the president, nor did they ask that the House.
That might have something to do with the fact that, you know, the fact that he wasn't asked by any of the soldiers to censure the president might have something to do with the fact that they're not allowed to get the news that there's a censure motion on the table. Whew. You know, no, they get an hour of Rush Limbaugh every day brought to you by with the taxpayers' dollars. Honest, too, Pete.
Senate leaders. Bipartisan leaders.
Yes, dear.
Are you on there, John?
No, John hasn't called in, dear.
Yes, he has.
No.
Ouch.
You there, John?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How you doing, mate?
Our buddy John Fox. Okay.
Sorry, man. Good to hear Jim ringing up. That was. But the vision of him running around the house naked was
no. That's Bob. Bob's running around.
Sorry. not to pull you off track, but you know I was chomping at the bit to ring in last night, and it's kind of to come to your defense at going to the mat for your party yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And because I think in that conversation, the front porch that you ran last night, I think everybody's right. But now the problem is in the context of it all, what do you do?
Yeah, well,
because you're right with the fact that in the two-party system, if you start playing with third parties, it's only going to end up playing into the Republicans' hands. And it's a flaw in our particular two-party system, right?
Yeah.
Now, what we need, I do believe, is third and fourth parties, but they're not viable until we have instant runoff elections where you can do things like preferences.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Right? Because then the people who want to focus, say, more on green issues can then back up the Dems as opposed to pulling away from the Dems numbers, as would happen with there's kind of this inbuilt flaw in the Jeffersonian system that we use.
Well, even the Jeffersonian system, John, did not, I mean, as the Constitution was written, it didn't contemplate parties at all. In fact, the people who framed it urged people at their peril to stay the hell away from factions and parties. Factions was usually the term that was used.
Yeah. Okay. So now going with that,
yeah.
You are right. In the current system, you did the right thing. And unfortunately, you have egg on your face, which is the result these days. Okay, so You know, there were discussions yesterday that we need to clean out the party, right? And I think that is definitely true. We need to get rid of these, as I consider, you know, fake Democrats like Lieberman and the like,
yeah,
who always back up the right side. Now, how we go about that with how kind of screwed the system is, this is where it gets difficult, okay? I think that we need to avoid fighting amongst the people who want third parties, trying to blast them as ruining the base,
mm-hmm,
as saying, we want you, but we need to do it in a way that you're not taking away from the greater goal at the moment. So maybe we need to find a way to bring these people in.
Well, I agree. Yeah.
Fix the system.
Oh, absolutely, John. Because I've been saying, I can't understand the existence of a Green Party in the first place. Because everything that they stand for is generally part of the Democratic Party platform. A strong environmental protection, clean air, clean water, not poisoning our future. You know, with the possible exception of the people eating tasty animals crowd, green is in line with most of what the Democratic Party ostensibly believes. Now, if the Democratic Party doesn't do a good enough job of bringing that to life and manifesting it, then we get mad at our leadership. But you know, why do we never look at ourselves? You understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand, and this is where I say I think the key to the whole thing is getting one control over the election system, i.e. the machines and all the other garbage that's gone on, and get publicly funded elections. And I mean, this has to be a national thing, okay? This has to be bipartisan, it has to be across party lines, or else we'll never get there, because we need to show them that, you know, at this moment, as the neocons are kind of like having everything crumble under their feet, we need to embrace the real, you know, the real Republicans who are saying, I want my party back. And we are hearing those rumblings, okay? Because if we actually got to the point where we had publicly funded elections, and I know that's a huge one, that's a huge tit that we cannot get these people off, and that's probably one of the biggest factors in the fact that our voices are never heard with the people that we do get in. But then we need to get these runoff ballots, because in this situation where the Democrats are not standing to that ideal, where you are right, green issues per se should be pretty much within Democratic Party lines. Well, if we have a situation where you can have influence of people that are a check on the fact that the left is really staying on green issues the way that we should be, because, you know, your last caller mentioned, and I'm glad he reminds everybody that Jimmy Carter was bloody right. And if we listened to him back in the 70s, we probably would never be anywhere near the mess we're in right now.
Right.
So I really, really think that they're doing a really good job, again, with the timing of the immigration bill and everything else, to detract attention away from the hearings that went on today.
Yeah.
And again, it's another thing that enables us all to be broken in to divide and conquer by these radicals. I think it was Colin Powell's former chief of staff called them modern-day Jacobites.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, they are extremely good at it. And it go and you know, I don't mean to insult any Greens, any Naderites, wa-da-da-da-da. But the fact of the matter is, as long as you're out there being a Green and not fighting with the people who will fight for you or alongside the people who will fight for their issues, then you're getting used by the Republican Party. And the proof of that lies in the Republican Party's willingness to fund, as in 2004, John, Ralph Nader's whole campaign.
Oh, I totally agree with you. That's why I'm saying, and I don't have the answer, right? I'm not calling up saying that I have the answer, but like every one of these discussions and the three-way that you were having last night, everybody is right.
Yeah,
where they're green. Okay, so again, it's this, you know, we're all in this together kind of concept that we need to say, okay, fine. We need to make it work within the confines of what we've got now so that we can enable the changes. Because I just think that we're being at the moment in a system where factioning ends up basically disconnecting the people from the system eventually, which is what it has done.
There's no doubt that people are disconnected from the system, John. Our good friend Benedict in the chat room just made a very trenchant observation. He said, we do have a three-party system, Democrats, Republicans, and people who just stay home. And it's the honest-to-God's truth. I mean,
it is. And another thing, and I would never have said this because of how we are brought up in America until I lived here. Mandatory voting with a small penalty if you don't rock up is the way to go, because I'm sorry. If that is all that you're supposed to be doing as your minimum civic duty every 3 or 4 years, however your system runs, I think you should rock up and at least even say, I vote for nobody. Because I think that is also the way that they're able to easily fudge results and also easily disenfranchise enough people in the right places to affect things.
Well, you know, what Benedict said is so very trenchant, John, because I mean, you talk about people. I don't know how you penalize somebody for not voting when the first place you can't get them to register. But
the thing is, when it's mandatory, you're basically effectively already registered through the census, and you just need to reply via mail and pick your polling place. It's also done on Saturday.
Well, I think that's another thing. I mean that's another very simple solution. But just to give you an example, we had a primary. I think it was the 2000 primary here in this county in West Virginia. We had a turnout of 33% for the party primary.
Jeez.
Now, that means that the nominee for the general election was chosen by 30% of the registered members of the party, which means, in turn, that if a guy won by 51%, that he was chosen by 15%. And you can do this same calculus with a national election. Now, you know, 54 million allegedly voted for Bush, 51 million allegedly voted for Kerry. And still, that was maybe 60% of the turnout. So 30, yeah. So slightly more than 30% of the American, of the registered American voting populace selected a man who has the power to destroy other nations in our name. Chew on that for a little bit.
It truly, mate. I watched that ha 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 America clip that you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, did that just set your hair on fire?
As you know, it's the whole thing about China's owning the American debt and whatnot has been a subject that Bruce and I have spoken about at great length.
Yeah,
And combine that with the things that I've heard Hartman speak about, that when the Chinese, I've heard this before, the Chinese speak about, you know, the next century, the economic powers, America doesn't even exist in the conversation. So
no.
Knowing that discussion's going on and watching that video, and you say, well, I mean, you know, they've got us by the short and curlies, as they say in Australia.
John, another one of our friends from the chat room. You remember Blue in Missouri?
Of course I do.
Is on the line with us. Let's bring her on board. Agnes says she's got some breaking news of a sort. Are you there, Blue?
Yes, I'm here.
What do you got?
How
for
you doing?
Us?
Well, Bob, if you go to www.downwindrs.org. They're getting ready to shoot off a 700-ton mushroom cloud in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah, yes. Well, it's actually one of the nuclear testing facilities, isn't it?
Yeah, but what they're going to test is called a nuclear robust earth penetrator, and three of those are equal to what we dropped in Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Oh wow.
And isn't this being done by like the Department of Risk Minimalization or something insane like that?
But it was snuck in the bill, the 2004 budget bill, and I watched them take it out of the budget bill year before last. That is why they have cut funding to Medicare and Medicaid and child support and everything else, because the Senate and the House voted to stop funding for the robust nuclear Earth penetrator. So Bush has been basically screwing the rest of us to pay for this nuclear weapon, which is the first weapon to be developed since the Cold War.
Yeah, and I love the imagery of these monsters. The name of it is Divine Strake.
Exactly.
Divine. Can they not engage in any level of murder or killing or death or destruction without somehow invoking the wrath of a deity?
Well, I wanted to let you know, I live here in Southwest Missouri.
Uh huh.
And I have a girlfriend who is a Gulf War veteran from the first war,
mm-hmm.
in 1990. She sent me an email and told everybody, oh, here's this link. Go and fill out this form and be on the Selective Service Board, which is
right.
Draft.
Yeah, sure.
So I went and filled it out, and that was a year ago.
All right.
Night before last, I got a phone call that I am now a backup board member. So, they have already formed their board. They are bringing back the draft.
Well, I've wondered for a long time how they could possibly avoid it. And one of the things that I said was to be on, you know, and this was some time back, to be on the lookout for this to happen in Bush, toward the end of Bush's second term.
Well, you had to sign up to do it.
Yeah.
Or you didn't get a call.
Yeah, I remember. They had opened up money to fill those positions about 16 months ago or something.
Well, she said to me, the lady on the phone, she says, are you willing to have your name in the paper? And I said, sure. Put my name in the paper. I have absolutely almost 100% sure that I'm not going to serve on the board. But then I think, again, as a Democrat and a progressive, we can't let the Republicans have control of these boards. I am not sending kids who cannot read and write to Iraq or Iran.
Well, or if we can get away with it, any kids.
No. My kid is a soldier. He's a second lieutenant. He's in EOD. Which is bomb disposal.
Oh, man.
He's telling me that the kids they're sending him cannot read and write. That's what they're taking.
Well, some of my more knowledgeable military friend, what is that, level four acceptance rate? And I got a story in the stack here, too, that says, well, the Army has decided it will lift its ban on tattoos.
Right.
It used to be you couldn't get into the Army if you were all tatted up. Well, now they're taking tats.
Look, they're taking kids with IQs of 50.
50?
My son had a friend in high school who he tried to help pass the test, and the kid had a 50 IQ. He is now in the United States Army with an IQ of 50.
That is...
I mean,
that's horrifying.
Borderline mental retarded.
I don't even think that's borderline.
I mean, this kid cannot read and write. My son is telling me that the kids he's seeing cannot read and write. And he's supposed to teach them how to defuse a bomb.
Oh, God. Well, did they give you any kind of time frame for when anything's going to happen as far as you being on the backup board or anything like that?
No. When the next member quits, I move up. But I feel like if I quit and don't sit on the board, they're going to send kids that have no business being there.
Yeah. No, well, I think they're, no, I agree. I agree with you being on it. This is, well, this is, that's one less human being who can be there and just blindly follow, follow the dictates of death.
I'm not going to let them send kids that can't read and write. I'm not going to let them do it.
No. No, I mean, that, they should, that, well, I mean, you know, when Vietnam was going on, or God knows, Korea, the Second World War, it didn't take, I mean, we were hungry for people, but it didn't take a lot to get you, what is it, 4F?
Exactly. Yeah, but Bush's new plan, and you can see it over there on Common Dreams, Bush's new plan is 18 to 34, everybody serves. That's the deal. Everybody serves. It doesn't matter whether you're boots on the ground or pushing paperwork or answering phones or digging ditches. Everybody serves. And there is no college deferment.
Well, if you look at the abuses of Vietnam, that is, you know, that's the kind of thing that Charlie Rangel put forward. And I agreed with Charlie when he did it.
Yes.
You know, make it, you know, Charlie said, hey, let's have one. Because then it becomes apparent that, you know, the, you know, boys, girls, whatever, everybody goes. And of course, the Republicans ran from that like, you know, horses out of a burning barn.
But you want to know where I live, Bob?
Sure.
I live in the very red state of Missouri.
Absolutely.
In the very red 7th district of Roy Blunt.
Oh, God. Is that somewhere down around Springfield or something? Or?
Oh, that's Joplin.
Joplin, okay, sure. Yeah, because I did some schooling in Missouri.
And they have formed their selective service board.
Oh, God. What are we going to do with these people?
It's formed. It's a done deal.
And
I am a backup member of Jasper County, yeah, Selective Service Board. My name is Tamara Beinlich. I live at 6017 County Lane 276 in Carl Junction, Missouri. And I don't care who knows it.
Well,
they're going to print it in the paper.
Right. They're going to make you. They're going to make you public. I mean, but you know, I'm glad.
Be in the paper.
Yeah, I'm glad. But I'm glad you're willing to do it.
If I don't, they're going to send kids that can't read and write.
Mm-hmm. But it's because they're not concerned with whether they can read and write. They are concerned with whether or not they can follow the orders and pull the trigger of the gun.
Boots on the ground.
And boots, yeah, for, you know, boots on the ground for Iraq, boots on the ground for Iran. My God, a conscript army in the hands of this madman scares me to death.
But what scared me was seeing that they're going to go through. Now, if you go to Eric Blumrich's site, www.ericblumrich.com/nuke.html.
Yeah.
It's a really cool flash about the nuclear that they're getting ready to blow off there in Las Vegas.
No, that's terrifying. That's gonna raise up so much so much contaminated dirt and dust.
Oh, they're saying they're just loading up 700 tons of dynamite in it.
I heard something like they just want to see how big a thing they can blow up under the ground successfully.
And they want to do it by Vegas. Oh, this is smart.
Well, depleted uranium. Now, I got a real good site for you fellas. Depleted uranium. I've been looking at depleted uranium on the net for 20 months now.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have 4,000 pieces in my search engine.
Mm-hmm.
In my computer.
Sure.
I mean, but this is the site you want to go see because this is a military toxicology site.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read a story not too long back, just a couple of days ago, that referenced photographs of Abrams tanks on flat cars sitting in the middle of nowhere in Kansas. And the armor plating on them is depleted uranium.
Yes.
And they're just sitting there, and children play around it.
Well, that's what your bunker busters are made of.
Sure.
That shock and awe.
Yeah.
When they explode, they turn to dust. And that dust is inhaled by pregnant mothers. It goes into the water. It goes into the ground. Now, the site I want to send everybody to is www.miltoxprog.org.
Miltoxprog.org. Got it.
/DU, then the 20% sign, then the number 20, SHEET.HTML.
Okay.
Depleted uranium lands in a man's gonads.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it lands in a female's ovaries.
Yes. And it causes awful things to happen.
There are Gulf War soldiers from 1991
yes.
that are still pissing depleted uranium.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The study that stands out most in my mind, John, were you familiar with this one of the returning Gulf War I veterans in Mississippi? Did you ever read about that one?
Yes.
We've read heaps on this, yeah. And you know, I just keep thinking, you know, the pro-life movement. How many babies have they destroyed before inception there? But no,
67% more radiation. Of the returning veterans from the first Gulf War have had children born with birth defects.
That's right, and that was part of this Mississippi study.
Our flippers.
Yeah, not one single baby born after their return from the Gulf War was anything approaching, what is it, the Apgar scale, Agnes?
Right.
Yeah, Apgar normal. Not one.
And they're having the same problem in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because not only did we start using it again in Gulf War, in Bush War II, but in sending the soldiers into Iraq in Bush's new war, we sent them over the same ground that we had already poisoned.
Right. Well, now, you know, Bill Clinton used it in Bosnia.
Yes, I do.
And he hired Doug Rourke to go in and find out exactly what it was the military was blowing up in Bosnia.
Mm-hmm.
And Rourke came back and told Clinton, oh, man, they're using depleted uranium. Bill Clinton immediately stopped bombing with depleted uranium bunker buster bomb. He immediately stopped it. He only dropped 10 tons.
Only.
Daddy Bush, 41,
yeah.
He dropped 350,000 tons. In Iraq the first time.
God only knows what we've done so far ourselves.
1991. This Bush Jr. has dropped three times that much. Three times.
So nearly, what, a million tons?
Well, did you know that Daddy Bush actually bought it from Russia and shipped it across the United States? 400 and some thousand pounds of depleted uranium he bought it from Russia.
Jeez.
He bought it from Russia and shipped it across the country and made depleted uranium bombs. If you go to that site I was telling you, the Miltox Prog,
yeah.
It has a map on there, and it shows you all the cities in the country that are making depleted uranium bombs.
Mm.
Yes. And then the other one.
Yeah, and you know, just the depleted uranium shells themselves. They're just great big, real super heavy darts. The shells that we use in the tank, and they vaporize on contact, too. Oh, I know.
But it's the head. When it hits its target, it turns to dust.
Yeah, it vaporizes.
But it blows into the ground
mm-hmm.
and into the water
sure.
and into their air.
Yeah.
They breathe.
Well, and the thing is, even the soldiers, like you were talking about the ones who've come back from Gulf War I, the artillery pieces that they use, the muzzle, the rifling action of the barrels that putting those things out vaporizes a certain amount of it just in the firing of it around the soldiers themselves.
Yes.
And as a consequence, they breathe it.
But if we start using these nuclear earth penetrators
mm-hmm.
on Iran and Iraq, we deserve everything they give right back to us. We deserve it.
Well, there is that argument, and the karmic argument says that it's not even so much a question of deserving; it's a question of it's gonna get whether we deserve it or not. We're gonna get it.
Oh no, we do deserve it. We deserve every bit that Iran or Iraq or China or Pakistan or any of those. We deserve it because of what we have done. Bush has not made us safer. At least Clinton, he hired Doug Roke, R-O-K-K-E,
mm-hmm.
to find out. He didn't know, Clinton's just a country boy from the South.
Right.
Me and you, he wanted to know what the hell is that we're bombing these people with? And that's when Roke said to him, we're using depleted uranium. And Bill Clinton immediately stopped using it.
I didn't know that. I feel a little bit better knowing that. I didn't approve of the bombing of Kosovo.
Me neither.
I'm pretty much solidly anti-war.
But exactly. Bill Clinton, he's like you and me. He didn't know what the hell the military was using.
Well, there's a lot of stuff presidents don't know. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Blue, we've got to roll along. We're at the top of the hour.
Well, you people, you got to do something. If you don't stand up and go to Las Vegas, stop them from these bomb testings, then I don't know what to say.
Well, we're trying every night.
If you'll
help get the word out and help more people know that this show is there.
Bob, if you just Google Blue and Mo, you'll find me.
All right, I'll do that.
Or Kerry Blogger.
Okay.
Like John Kerry?
Yeah.
I've been ranting and raving about depleted uranium for 20 months. I can't get anybody to listen. Nobody wants to see. Everybody's like, oh my God, oh, this stuff is really bad. And they look the other way. Everybody. I don't care who it is, whether it's Tom Hartman or John Kerry or John Edwards, they all look the other way. I've been yelling about this for almost 2 years. When is somebody going to tell them to stop using depleted uranium on human beings?
Well, it seems simple. It seems a simple enough prospect, and God knows I've been talking about depleted uranium since 2003. I'm a simple guy, Terry. I believe when you're doing evil and you figure out you're doing evil, you stop doing evil if you're not evil.
But beyond evil.
Oh, I know. But we do. We've got to roll on. We've got to hit our top of the hour break.
All right, go for your break.
Thank you for all the information, Terry.
Talking to me.
Oh, my pleasure.
And keep an eye on those god dang civil service boards.
I certainly will.
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Blue.
Bye, Carrie. I said Terry. It was Carrie. Okay. We'll get things right. Still there, John?
Yeah, man. I'm still here. There was a lot going on there.
Yeah, hang through the break, okay?
Okay, man.
All right. You're going to be doing the news in a minute anyway. All right. We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
on Radio News, I'm John Fox. Censoring George Bush. That was the topic Friday when the House Judiciary Committee met to consider the resolution offered by Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold. Feingold put the issue squarely in perspective with his opening remarks.
If the president's legal theory, which is shared by some of our witnesses today, is correct, then FISA is a dead letter. All of the supposed protections for civil liberties contained in the reauthorization of the Patriot Act that we just passed are a cruel hoax. Under this theory, we no longer have a constitutional system. We have a monarchy.
Only one other Democrat, Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, showed up for the hearing. The two Democrats were opposed by several Republicans, none of whom dared call George Bush into account. Another Republican is headed up the river. Tom DeLay's former press secretary pled guilty Friday to mail fraud in connection with activities he undertook with DeLay's close friend, Jack Abramoff. Tony Rudy joined Abramoff and others in a scam to influence Congress and defraud clients. Rudy faces no more than 5 years in prison for trying to subvert the U.S. government. Iran test-fired a new missile Friday. Reports from Tehran say the weapon can disperse multiple warheads hitting several targets simultaneously. Western experts aren't certain, but they say the missile may have enough range to hit Israel or U.S. bases in the Middle East. People relive the pain of 9/11 Friday. The city of New York released a set of compact discs containing the audio from emergency dispatch calls received during the World Trade Center collapse. The discs comprise some 130 calls made to fire and police dispatchers. Only the dispatch side of the audio was released. Of all the people who placed the calls, 28 people have been identified. Of those, only one survived. A court has left it up to the next of kin whether to release the other parts of the calls. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the Bush administration has made, in her words, thousands of mistakes. Rice confessed the administration's ineptitude in a speech Friday in Blackburn, England. She was a guest of the Chatham Institute, a UK think tank. Despite the thousands of bungled decisions, Rice said the only one that mattered was the decision to overthrow the Iraqi government. Protesters greeted the fashion plate diplomat with queries of, "Hey Condi, how many children did you kill today?" Add one more to the number of Iraqis dead at the hands of the United States. An elderly prisoner at George Bush's Abu Ghraib prison died of an apparent heart attack Friday. Other prisoners reported that the man was having difficulty breathing. He died after he was transported to the prison's medical unit. The Army's Central Criminal Investigation Division is looking into the death. This is news on the Horn.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
Clone Radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
George Bush is offering to help Iran following the earthquakes there Friday. Bush said, quote, "I want to offer my country's assistance to the people affected by the recent earthquakes in Iran," unquote. He added, quote, "We do care about the suffering of the Iranian people," unquote. At least 66 people are dead and more than 1,400 have been injured by the quakes. Still no verdict in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial. Jurors deciding whether to kill Moussaoui in the name of the people of the United States recessed their deliberations Friday without reaching a decision. It was their second day considering the evidence after 2.5 weeks of trial in the penalty portion of the case. Deliberations in the case will resume on Monday. Take those Magnetics brand toys away from your small kids. That's the words from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The CPSC issued a recall today for several million Magnetex toy sets.
More than 30 small children have choked on the magnets when they came loose from the toys. One child died after the magnets perforated his intestines when he swallowed them. At least three others have required hospitalization. Market Watch reports, U.S. corporate profits have increased 21.3% in the past year and now account for the largest share of the national income in 40 years, the Commerce Department said Thursday. It's a big puzzle, said Josh Bivens, an economist for the Economic Policy Institute. If this is a knowledge economy, how come the brains aren't being compensated? Instead, the owners of physical capital are getting the rewards. Despite the flood of cash coming in the door, corporations are investing comparatively little in expanding their operations. While profits are up 21.3% in the past year, labor compensation is up just 5.5%. That's the news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yes, indeedy. 5.5 minutes after the hour. Hey, this is it for Head On for, about 45 minutes left. But this is it for Head On until Monday evening. So if it's under your skin, better do something about it quick. Or you're just going to have to bottle it up, and that's no good for you. Something real quick, a quick note from our pal CB in Northern California. Watched the censure hearing this afternoon. This is something she forwarded on to me. Watched the censure hearing this afternoon, or part of it. It only fueled my outrage. It's as if a guy drove his car through a mall, smashing stores, killing a couple dozen people, and they're considering giving him a ticket for running a stop sign as he fled the scene. You still with us, John? Yo, John.
Yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah, it works. Wrong button, honey.
That was me. I was potted down awaiting your cue.
Well, you were potted down on this end, too, so partially our fault. Hey, you wanna have a real blast here for a second?
Go for it.
Want to have an online aneurysm with me and listen to a little bit more of our buddy Jeff Sessions?
Oh, please do.
You can hear the playback, can't you?
I'm not sure if I got it the last time. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll play with another knob and see what's going on.
Who had the program explained to them in detail.
Wrong. Okay.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
And its operation updated to them on many occasions, be censured. Why not censure the congressional leaders? We have power to censure them. That is constitutional. Why don't we send them to the Ethics Committee? The answer is they did nothing wrong. The president did nothing wrong. They did nothing worthy of censure. And we've had, Senator Hatch said, it's just not an appropriate discipline of the president by the United States Congress. So these, I submit, the congressional leaders and the president did the right thing, the lawful thing, to protect our country and the people as they're sworn to do. Our president is an honest man.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's the good part. John, I think we're going to wind up having to sing, okay?
Okay, I didn't get any of that, but that's all right.
Oh, darn. Okay.
I had it and it disappeared.
Oh, okay. I know which one it is. Yeah, that's okay. Well, let me back up because this is just too much fun to let you miss, okay?
Please, I submit, the congressional leaders and the president did the right thing, the lawful thing.
Hear it now?
Protect our country.
Nope.
And the people as they're sworn to do. Our president is an...
Got it.
Oh, you got it there? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's back this up one more time because I really want this to just burn itself into people's skulls.
The congressional leaders and the president did the right thing, the lawful thing, to protect our country and the people as they're sworn to do.
You getting it now, John? Is it?
That was the whole clip?
No.
They did the right and lawful thing?
No,
excuse me.
No. I just wanted to make sure you're getting the audio because the fun part's coming now.
Yeah, okay.
Our president is an honest man. He's a candid man, a direct man, a strong leader.
He's a candid man. Now,
lie.
But who can take a stable country? blow it all to hell. Salt the earth with uranium and say things are going swell. The candid man can.
God, man, we truly have soiled the nest, man. That's all I can think when I hear this. Seriously, man. You hear about all this depleted uranium stuff, hiding the real science from the public, and then you have people like this actually saying stuff, you know, that Bush is an honest and candid man, is the norm.
Oh, this is just nuts. The idea that he's a candid man, and I'm sorry for the singing there to everybody, because I have no business singing on the air. But Agnes and I were sitting here listening to this morning, and he said that, and we each turned to each other and sang the same thing. Of course, that's the kind of thing that happens when you've been married for 13 freaking years. You know, you do that kind of thing. Because we both had these little visions of you know, George Bush dressed up as Sammy Davis Jr. It was just wrong. It was just wrong.
That's wrong on so many levels, man. It's not even funny. That's just way wrong. But we were talking earlier about the fact that, you know, you went to the mat, right?
Yeah.
And here you have this blowhard making outlandish statements as though George Bush is somehow honorable. And the fact that they're doing, you know, supposedly did the right thing when we know that it's breaking constitutional law. And the fact that most of the Democrats left you and others to be wearing egg on their face.
Well, and that's the thing that drives me absolutely bug sprayed crazy, John. We're not talking about just any Democrats. We're Ted Kennedy. For God's sakes, Ted Kennedy.
Now the immigration debate, was that snuck into this time slot last
minute?
No.
This has been scheduled for a while, but you know, it's in the same building. You can put in an appearance.
I totally understand that, and I am disappointed because I've had great comfort by some of the things that old Teddy has done over the last few months.
Dick Durbin. I mean, he's the Senate Minority Whip.
We gotta get rid of the lobbyists and the corporate financing of these elections. And if you go back to the last story in my news about corporate profits being up,
yeah,
they're just able to end up getting more of your labor, your work's money, to end up buying more of the same influence. So here's my question again, and I know that this scares a lot of people, but Ben Burch and I think are on the same page here. It's way past time for people to actually take to the streets in a major way.
Yeah.
Because as far as it is now, the Democratic Party is completely useless because the people have lost all touch with it. And that's not their fault, completely.
Well, you know, I'll go ahead and tell one more little tale out of school on this one, John. I get these emails from this gentleman at the DNC who's in charge of radio communications, and I'm on his email list. And you know, once in a while, he writes back.
Right.
So I'm watching all this go down, and I finally realize who's not there, and it took a while. So I called up his email address and fired off an email to him. And like I said, he responds once in a while. And I said, look, you know, I know the questions I'm going to have to be dealing with, because they were already coming in via the email from listeners who email me, you know, during the regular part of the day. Our good friend David in South Carolina said he was about to pull an Elvis on the TV.
and we need those bricks, man.
Bad, but I understand that sentiment, because I was about to, you know, and it's a nice little LCD monitor I'm watching on and stuff, and I don't want to Elvis my monitor. But,
yeah.
I get it. And so I write this guy, and I say, hey, you know, help me here. I need a talking point. You know, because I'm dealing with a lot of people that are thinking real third party-ish, and I don't want that to happen.
Did you get anything?
Hear the crickets?
See, this is another problem, and I don't know if you caught Malloy the other night, the call that led to the really neat plug for our fledgling network.
Yes.
But He talked very effectively about the fact that the right puts up the money for their media outlay and making sure that their message gets across. And yet the people who have the most grassroots movements going on, their party seems to not understand how to reach out. And I actually have been noticing the same thing in Australia here, because they sent guys over to study under MoveOn.org and those folks to come back, and they started up a thing called Get Up Australia. And I've gotten about one email a month. And I've been, and I just say, you know, why are these people not producing ads? Why are they not doing stuff? You know what I mean?
I get, right now, I'm getting 4, 5, 10 emails a day from different Democratic organizations, John, saying, Bob Kincaid, it's all up to you. You may make the difference in November whether we're celebrating. This is what I got from John Kerry today. Bob, you may make the difference between whether or not we are celebrating or grieving come November. Oh, God. You know,
Entered username here.
Well, yeah, but not just that. This whole idea that I'm getting a note from John Kerry who windsurfed while they were putting knives in his back.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
I'm the guy who's going to make the difference in November. And I got Charles Schumer, and I got Dianne Feinstein, and I got Dick Durbin, and I got Herb Kohl, and I got Ted Kennedy, and can't one of them show up for this hearing on the censure motion today, and I'm going to make the difference in November? Sorry, I'm yelling at you. I didn't mean
No, no, it's all right, man. It's all right, man. I do this all the time, all in my lonesome and on our show on the weekends.
But no,
what
Mike said is absolutely correct, John. The fact of the matter is there is money out there, and there is money in scads. And people don't understand. I don't want to be a millionaire. I want to be able to send my kids to college, drive in a reliable vehicle, afford some health care so I can go to the doctor when I get sick or take Agnes or the kids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a greedy man. You know, a nice meal once in a while.
Just once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get along with the 24-ounce 89-cent Miller Tall Boys. I mean, high time at the Kincaid Studio. All right. I mean, they call it Miller High Life for a reason, but you know.
Yeah, I laugh uncomfortably at your expense, but I mean, this is the reality of it.
But
there is scads of money out there, but why is it? Why is it that none of it ever gets put into a cohesive message of what they are doing on our behalf after they've gotten all this
email?
Well,
part of it is the medium. Part of it is the medium, John. Understand that first and foremost. Our side of the debate has long held a real snobbish feeling toward talk radio. Now, obviously, it's supported. People like to listen to it. I would be howling into the wind all by myself every night if there wasn't some need for this. You guys would go 3 hours a night every night with Fourth Estate and Bruce with All Things and never hear from a human being. But we're filling a need. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I totally
and it
agree.
Will, and it will sell, and it will fly, John. But the thing is, there is a snobbery out there. You know, oh, well, we don't want to do that thing that Rush Limbaugh is doing.
Well, yeah, and you know, going back to, I don't know if you got it from Cost or whatever, but the Vichy Dems thing.
Yeah.
I really think one of the keys to getting the party back is for the seriously the Southern Democrats to grab, you know, become a force again. And one of the things that I really enjoy about your show and Bruce's show, and you know, some of that spills into our show as well, is that we're getting a lot of calls from, you know, red states in the South and whatnot that you don't even hear even on Air America as much. And you know, I feel that we, for some reason, by how organic we started this thing and exactly where it's all going to lead to, we have no clue yet, because we're designing the wheel as we go, but that's fine. And I think we're doing a good job at making sure this thing, with it being conversation radio, that we're allowing our listeners that are hungry for this thing to feed back to us what it is that they know, what they're hearing, how they're feeling, and well, that where
being,
they...
That being the case, let's bring on somebody for a little conversation radio.
Let's do it.
I mean, I think we've got a little front porch action going tonight. Hey, David. This is David in Maine, John. John, David, you there?
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, David.
Good evening, Bob, and good evening, John, to you both.
Thank you.
First off, I want to start off on something different. I want to recommend something because I think it's good for... I just think it's a good thing to watch. I think it has a lot of lessons to learn about in life. The Townes Van Zandt documentary, Be Here, Love Me. Really, really just an amazing documentary about the folk singer-songwriter,
mm-hmm.
about his life. Impressive footage. Talks a lot about his lyrics and his songs. Has footage from Guy Clark and Steve Earle talking about him.
Nice.
It's really, really impressive, and I got to recommend it. I give it like 4 stars out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you got Steve Earle in there. He's one of my heroes. For sure.
Yeah. Van Zandt is kind of a really crazy person, and when he talks about it in the documentary, is it talks about like one instance. It talks about how he was pronounced DOA for an hour and a half at the dentist. Yeah, I mean crazy things like that. But the crazy part about it is that the reason why he was DOA because he had a thing for glue sniffing, and he mm-hmm. put two tubes. This is crazy. He put two tubes of glue in his mouth so he would get the high. But see, what happened is not to get too graphic, but his mouth got shut.
He glued his own mouth shut.
Yeah, he glued his own mouth shut. And the dentist is there, sitting there, and they're arguing, and they're like, well, the dentist and the doctor are sitting there. Well, this boy's dead, but I can bring him back. And Van Zandt is telling the story, and he goes, I guess they argued for about an hour or so. And he goes, well, I'll bring him back. He goes, but we're gonna have to do something about this mouth. Took a hammer, smashed his teeth.
Ow.
And that's why Van Zandt has caps. I just think that's the funniest story.
Now, aside from the smashing his teeth part, anybody know how to go get a hold of Limbaugh's dentist?
You're evil, John.
Now, of course I am.
Now, the next thing I want to talk about, shifting gears now, is what we were saying earlier about the Democratic Party and news of this. Well, the way I look at it, guys, is nothing phases me what this party goes through, and it's almost like a Zen phase with me. If I look out the streets and there isn't blood in the streets, I think, okay, I can live with this. But what I'm saying is this, is I think that people put such a pressure on our system of government that they really can't see it through the prism of, I don't know, of transitions and whatnot. And there's something where, yeah, like I was telling, I don't know if you were listening to me last night, John, but I was telling Bob that this is like a giant family business.
Yeah.
And we're basically in the basement right now. We're playing cards and we're saying, I don't really like Uncle Kerry. He's really messing up.
Well put.
but he's got to stay there because, you know, you're the cousin of the cousin of the cousin. And you're like working the mailroom or whatever.
Yeah.
So this is what I say to people. I mean, you just have to. You just have to keep that in perspective, and you just have to just channel that kind of energy and just realize that the Republicans in general and, let's be fair, the Dominionists, these people really do want to rape the world because they think Jesus is coming, and they've taken a significant hold of the Republican Party, and a lot of Republicans don't know it.
I just flashed on something, David. You know, I've said on a number of occasions that so many of these people don't understand that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses.
Right.
With some of these people, you know, this is what just hit me. Yeah, you're right. They think you know, Jesus is coming back and he's golden El Dorado and, you know, going to carry me home. They think, oh, I'm not going to die. When Jesus comes, I get to keep it.
Well, you know, Bob, you know what's a scary thing? And I hope people look into this, is if you check the e-voting machines, you look at a lot of the investors, and a lot of the investors are hardcore Dominionists.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, why do you think they're destroying this country? It's I think this is the problem, is that people, it's like the I see syndrome. They think Karl Rove and whatnot. Karl Rove is a guy with a clipboard who thinks this might work and this might not. But since I have this kind of image, if you have an image, and I think John will know what I'm talking about because he's probably, you know, Suge Knight, right, of Death Row?
Yeah, sure. I know.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you know him too. He has that image, dressed in red, the red carpet, the pit bull, the cigar. Okay.
Yeah.
Karl Rove doesn't have that, but he does have that. Oh, I heard what Karl Rove did to so and so. He was the and Sergetti was his mentor, and he studied with Lee Atwater.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got a Dr. Strangelove kind of the kind of thing about him. And so if something creepy comes up, you know, you can see, yeah, sure, you can see the moving finger of Karl Rove writing on the wall. Even when the finger's nowhere, sure, I know exactly
right,
what you mean.
That's what I'm saying, and this is what they play up on this image. And the Democrats, I think personally, that they just have this fetish for Karl Rove. What's Rove doing?
Well, and I'm as guilty of that as the next guy, David, but in what went down today,
yeah,
just in what went down in the Senate Judiciary Committee today, I think is sort of an obverse or reverse manifestation of all of that. We're talking about a president whose approval numbers are literally in the toilet. And still, we have Democrats who are afraid to come out and criticize the president because the likes of Mary Beth Cahill and Bob Schrum have told them that if they will just be quiet, it can all be theirs.
I believe that everything has its time and the place. It's like synchronicity, like I was talking about last night.
Yeah.
And I think the problem, the people say, well, when is it going to happen for us? Well, when is it going to happen for us? For a lot of people to build up their empire or their movement, it's taken decades and centuries. And after like 4 or 5 years, we're like, well, when is it going to happen for us? I mean, changes are happening, but they're slow. And that's all I can say.
Yeah, they're geologic at this point, David.
Yeah, this is true, but I'll jump in on that too. That I think you're right, and I think, you know, Howard Dean, you know, while all this stuff is going on, still seems to be maintaining his focus on regaining the people's voice at the most, you know, lower ends of government, you know, local races and things
yeah.
like that, because he does understand how this is how the Republicans did it, exactly the way that you're saying.
Right.
And so, you know, I sometimes get a little frustrated when I hear progressives and Democrats tear him, and I sometimes think that they're not actually paying attention to what he's doing. And I know, Bob, you've had a chance to speak to him yourself, and as I have, and it's he lays it out that they did it this way, and not that we're following the Republican model, but we let them gain control of the voice of what the people thought they were thinking, and we need to remind them of what actually works for the people. And the quickest way, like, you know, you're unhappy about the Walmart going in your local town. Well, the best way to stop that is actually at your local council. And who's sitting on most local councils? Your developers.
Right. I actually saw that Greenwald documentary, and I saw where they actually did stop that store.
Yeah.
I think
it was in
California or something.
Yeah, so I mean, this is one of the things, you know. Sometimes even the focus of always being on the national offices, even though we have to be there, and yeah, we have all these voting issues. I mean, and the fact that the Electoral College should have been, you know, eliminated, you know, 5-6 decades ago. Because I mean, it was only supposed to protect the ballots while they were being brought around by, you know, horse-driven courier. So, you know, but I think the idea of actually getting people, real Democrats, starting from the grassroots and moving up through their state, you know, houses and things like that, and then finally maybe while we're trying to get the big prize at the moment, if we're constantly failing because we have all these kind of bogus Dems running around,
right?
It may take time. It may, you know, if we can't expose to somehow hold these people accountable now, we have to plant the seeds to be able to hold them accountable at some time in the future, I guess.
Well, John, you know, I have an analogy that I think that will surprise a lot of people. It's about heroes and superheroes. And a hero, it's what happened in the comic book world. when in the comic books, there before the superhero, there was the hero. You had like Lone Ranger, and you had people that had their flaws, and then all of a sudden people say, but we need a superhero. And that's the kind of thing that happened in politics, where as our superhero was Kennedy, and the conservatives was Reagan. But what people don't realize, and I hope progressives listen to this and they understand, everybody has their guilty pleasures, their kryptonite, and we need to realize that and just constantly there is no superhero, people. And we need to realize that if somebody messes up and does something, that's partly because they're human. You don't have to forgive them. But what you have to do is eventually you have to come to terms with that. And you have to understand. And that's what I tell people in the Green Party and progressives. Just because someone has a beret and the ascot on and is looking all high and mighty, I mean, it's like what people were saying about Bob Marley. Or here's a guy that was led so many people, but at the same time, he was as dark and as depressed.
Sure.
And the same thing with Sly Stone. So many people looked up to him and whatnot. And that's what I'm saying is that...
Everyone has feet of clay. There's no doubt about it, David.
What do you mean? The same thing the conservatives felt.
Hey, guys, we're gonna take our bottom of the hour break.
All right.
Agnes started the music. I'm out of
no
control.
No problem. Nice talking to you, Bob and John.
Hey, David, have a great weekend. Look forward to hearing from you again. Okay, we'll be back in just a little bit. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
Apparently, on the right-hand side, on the right wing, the leadership in the Republican Party is not so cozy with the pro-life movement. They say pro-life. That's bull. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't send people to die in battle. If they were pro-life, you know, they would put money into a temporary aid for needy families, TANF, which is an entitlement. If they were pro-life, they would help with creating better pensions for us to live our remaining years in relative peace and serenity rather than having to work until you're 85 years old in order to make a living. If they were pro-life, if they were really, really pro-life, then we wouldn't be in the middle of a war.
Bottom line. Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you know, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
No one knows about it. He says it used to be a farm before the motor lost. On Sundays I lose the ice.
Welcome back. Okay, about 25 minutes before the hour, 20 minutes or so left in the program. If you want to get a last thought in, that was a lot of fun. That kind of a precursor to something I hope we'll be doing soon on Friday evenings. What I like to call the front porch. Get not just my yammering head, but a couple of good minds together, and talk some and just talk some sense. The very essence of conversation radio, if you will. Because I'm a talk radio fan myself. You know, I started in radio a long time ago, but intermittently have done other things. But through it all, I got hooked on talk radio when I was program director of a talk radio AM. And this is before Rush Limbaugh. Okay, I mean there was actually some of it that was enjoyable. Michael Jackson out of KABC. Used to just drop the hammer on Ronald Reagan every day. I loved him. And he had this refined British accent. I cannot believe... You know, don't do that, Bob. And so I got hooked, and I've been listening to talk radio of one form or another ever since. And one of the things is, when you listen, and it's one caller, you think, wouldn't it be really cool if two or three people that you really enjoy hearing from could get together and yak all at once? We tried it last night with Wayne and Rick. And tonight our good buddy John Fox from down under, from Sydney, half of the wonderful duo that is Fourth Estate Radio, he and Bruce Birch. That'll be tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern. Do the math for wherever you are. Just like this show, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org handles that stream as well, FourthEstateRadio.com. And then Sunday night, our other sister program here on the fledgling Head-On Radio Network, All Things with Bruce Birch, 10 p.m., AllThingsReconsidered.org. Well, we shall make, yeah, and there's another announcement coming about future programming on the Head-On Radio Network. Among other things, I should remind you that our good friend Joe Vecchio has a fundraiser going right now. He's part of the way toward the equipment he needs. I want Joe to be out there and be heard, because we're smarter than the Rush Limbaughs and the Hannitys. My God, Hannity's just an idiot. O'Reilly, what do you want? You know, just O'Reilly. Put me off falafel for the rest of my life, and that's a damn shame because I used to like it. But anyway, this concept that we're... So I'm trying to bring some of these things to life that I've thought about in the course of being a talk radio fan. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it's something you feel comfortable in participating in. I do want to share a couple of stories with you along the way. Because, you know, let's end with an outrage, for God's sakes, of course. There's something that's going to happen in the very near future based on something that went down today, Friday, in Detroit. We've been following the problems of Delphi, the leading parts supplier for General Motors, which may very well be in its death spirals if something doesn't happen. I'll just read straight from the New York Times article. Delphi, the nation's biggest auto parts maker, followed through on a months-old threat today and asked a bankruptcy court judge for permission to throw out its labor agreements and impose sharply lower wages and benefits. My, that just all comes across so clean and bloodless, doesn't it? It also said it plans to close or sell most of its plants in the United States and cut its worldwide salaried staff together. The moves will eliminate 28,500 jobs. 28,500. 28,500 families. Let's say of that 28,500, oh, what does that mean? At least 14,000 children? sure, that are going to be out in the cold because of this. And they want to do, they want a bankruptcy judge to okay something that within the framework of American society, culture, the republic, our system of laws and not of men. They want to vitiate. They don't want to vitiate, they want to void. They signed contracts. And they want to get rid of those contracts. Most of it's probably union labor, the UAW. A significant portion of it, however, are salaried personnel, non-union labor. You know, management, low-level management, mid-management. Rest assured, the executives are not going to be hurt. They are going to be rich. Whether it goes up, whether it goes down, bust, boom, whatever, they're rich. And they don't have to worry, but 28,500 human beings are going to be out in the cold. Thanks to a bankruptcy judge. That's the nice thing. This is just a bankruptcy judge. This isn't a federal district judge. This isn't a circuit judge elected by the people. No, they're just asking a former lawyer with a talent for getting himself a political appointment and a little bit of number crunching. Hey, judge. Now, I know that under the ordinary law of the state and the land, you know, we signed a contract and we ought to be able to. You know, and contract law says we got to live up to the contract, or, you know, we got to face damages for breaching that contract. But I tell you what, Judge, yeah, do me a favor, would you, buddy? We want to void this contract. We want this contract to just go away. We want this contract to not exist anymore. We want it to be as if it never was, and we want to tell 28,500 people to go screw themselves. And we don't give a damn if their wife's on chemo. We don't give a damn if their kid's on a ventilator. We don't give a damn if their kids go to school. We don't give a damn if they eat. We don't give a damn, Your Honor, if they live, breathe, or die. We want you to void those contracts because, of course, we're trying to save the company by, what was that pretty sterile language there a minute ago? Yeah, impose sharply lower wages and benefits. Do you remember what they offered Delphi employees a while back, a few months ago? I think I had a little online hissy fit about it. Yeah, people making $32 and $35 an hour, they told them they could take $9 an hour or take a damn walk. Let it sink in. And the way, and this is the lovely thing, the way they will talk about these human beings, these 28,500 people that they want to screw, the way they'll talk about them is to say, Your Honor, we would like to be relieved of these liabilities. Because, see, it's important when you're talking to that number-crunching political appointee bankruptcy judge, it's very, very important that you not let the dude think of them as human beings. We need to be relieved of these liabilities. Well, is anybody going to be hurt? Well, Your Honor, we're not entirely certain. As you see, they're not persons, they are liabilities. And you see, if you do not relieve us of these liabilities, we will not be able to maintain the style of life to which we are accustomed. I'm not okay with that. Are you okay with that? You know, every now and then you'll hear a phrase bounce around, eat the rich. You keep whacking 28,500 working Americans at a pop. And that's going to land inside somebody's noggin one of these days. They may not want to eat them, but they might be thinking about doing the front end of it. Oh, we'd like you to avoid these liabilities. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine making $32 an hour and suddenly being told that your choice was between $9 an hour and no dollars an hour? Couple this with the early retirement buyouts that GM put forward. And what was it, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, dear leader was out on the... not the campaign trail, just out on the trail of filth and lies, and it's sort of like a snail trail that he has. You get the idea. and he was talking about the tremendous upswing in the American economy. Now, John mentioned that he went and watched Ha 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 America. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. Ha 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 America at festival.sundance.org/2006. You'll get the idea. Yeah, they're going to close a bunch of Delphi plants. Guess what? Those plants will reopen. You know where? I bet you do. Sure. And whose uncle was the president of the U.S.-China Chamber of Commerce? Whose uncle? Yeah, George's uncle, I'll be damned. Let's go to the phone. CB is with us from Northern California, and the person who turned me on to Ha 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 America. Hey, CB, how you doing?
Oh. And do you want me to end up in the bin or what?
What have I done now?
You, every time you guys start getting up on talking about the important stuff, like getting out in the streets and, you know, all the stuff that I want to hear about so badly, it keeps sliding back into, well, you know, we got to take the long view here.
I ain't taking no long view.
Oh, boy. Right now, for God's sakes, we just got finished listening to a bunch of monarchists.
That's
on CNN,
yeah.
Today.
Yeah. And there's, hey, look, there's 28,500 human beings that work for Delphi, and they won't even march on Washington, D.C.
When does it get through people's skulls that we don't have the time to get to be nice about this anymore? You know, this is already fascism happening, and it's going to be cemented for our future if we don't stop it now. There's no two ways about it. All the rest of this stuff is wonderful political thinking. It's all, as you say, smart. But in regular America, we're not in regular America right now.
No, we're not. And we're not in Oz either.
Yeah.
Now, you smart lady. Do you suppose, CB, you said, you know, when are they going to do it? I got no answer. You know, you sent me Ha 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 America. I've watched it a dozen times if I've watched it once.
I just went crazy for that. Everybody flips out and when they watch it, but I was so glad to see reality played out so cleverly, for a change.
I'm a reality junkie, and
you don't get to see it enough anymore. It's all fiction in front of you. We've got fictitious senators on TV in the Capitol.
Don't make me play Jeff Sessions at you.
No, God. No.
He is a candid man.
He is a monarchist. I can see it. They're going to turn the Capitol building into the court, you know, and that's why they're letting us all get irradiated with depleted uranium, because, you know, who cares what happens to the surf? They're going to be doing the minuet at the Capitol building. This is insane. It's just flat out insane, and the people of the United States have got to rise up and make it stop.
What's the old line? The condemned ate heartily.
Right.
I know the hurt, the anger, the anguish, the pain, the passion that you bring to all of this, CB, and I'm at a loss. Now I've never sat here and proposed to put out answers.
I tell you what, I know I'm putting too much pressure on you. I'm expecting you to solve this for me, or with me anyway. I don't want you to let anybody who calls snake out of demanding immediate action, immediate redress. The Declaration of Independence needs to be renewed, like yesterday.
Yes.
And, you know,
but maybe
we should just read that out at the beginning of each show or something.
I've done that. I have done that in the past. And, but, but the, I, like I said, I guess I'm long on bitching and short on answers. You know, I mean, I don't mean to be that way, but you know, when you see the thing that's happening to Delphi, those people that won't get out in the streets.
Yeah.
It's happened. It happened not 25 miles from me, down the road here. There were union coal miners thrown out on their ears because they did the same trick. They went to the bankruptcy judge and said these contracts are liabilities.
When I was a kid, the local newspaper tried to get rid of their union. There was shooting in the streets in Marin County, California. Supposedly Yuppiesville, Snitzyville, that, you know, nobody feels sorry for. In Marin County, there were fist fights and shooting and cops had lines of cops. And guess what? They did not get to throw out the union. And that was in my lifetime. So I remember people who were willing to stand up and stand together for what was right. And I just can't believe my eyes and ears.
And well, there are ways to manifest some of what you want, CB. Some of it occurred to me watching this god-awful hearing today. Every time, you know, Lindsey Graham, I got a standalone soundbite from that little punk that just makes me scream. But every time, and it was Sessions, and it was Hatch, and we're at war, we're at war, we're at war, 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 time of war, president and time of war, war powers. And every, I kept hearing that, and I tried to make phone calls. I want somebody to do for this war business what those Democrats in Mississippi did with the abortion thing the other day. And because I think this ties into your theory of we don't take it anymore. Now, it was 3 solid hours of we're at war, we're at war. Okay? Well, if they're at war, let's give them the war they want. Because you know what? We're not at war. There is one way and one way only under the Constitution of the United States for this nation to go to war.
Right.
And that is with a declaration of war passed by both houses of Congress.
Right.
Only Congress can declare war.
It galls me every time I hear them say that because, you know, we could walk out of it at any minute and could have all along. It isn't exactly like we're forced to be there.
It's
war of choice.
You know, we're Democrats. We're big old sissies. We want to sit around and make daisy chains and sing Kumbaya and sympathize, and, you know, because we've heard Karl Rove say it. You know, we want to understand the motives of the killers. You remember when he said that?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think would happen if, as Democrats, we stood up and we gave the Republicans what they yearn for? Give them the declaration. Some Democrat, Feingold maybe, introduce a declaration of war against the entire damned world. A declaration of war against every, I mean, alphabetized. If there is a terrorist in your country, we are at war with your government.
I mean,
make them run for it and then find out who the sissies are. Because when you stand up and you punch one of these punks, they run and they cry.
Yep, they cry.
Give them their war.
Well, it's really true that the Democrats have been told. Oh, that's something I really should mention. You know, even though this is such a seriously unpopular president, his program, his illegal program of spying on Americans, seems to be winning in the polls. It's like 52-48 or something like that. The American public seems to think it's okay. Because if you're not a member of Al-Qaeda, you have nothing to worry about. He can listen to me talking about my recipes over the phone. And so that's how come the Democrats are afraid to fight on this, because public opinion is not strongly enough against it.
Well, at what point will it be? One of the things that was referenced in these hearings, CB, was John Mitchell, who went to prison as Attorney General of the United States under Richard Nixon. John Mitchell told the American people, with regard to wiretapping, if you're not doing anything illegal, you don't have anything to worry about.
Right. And a lot
within,
of people
within 2 years of that, they were, two, 3 years of that, they were bugging the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee.
Right.
Right. Now, I, you know, in my heart, now, I'm not running off and playing conspiracy theory or anything. In my heart, I know that every time John Kerry went to the bathroom during the 2004 campaign, Karl Rove, by God, and I'm falling into the trap that David was talking about a few minutes ago, Karl Rove, by God, knew about it. John Kerry's phones were tapped.
Absolutely.
Everybody forgets that one of the first damn things that Karl Rove was ever associated with was a bugging scam in the governor's office.
That's probably why they were freaking out so badly about Howard Dean. They didn't have him wired.
Well, do you know this story, CB?
What?
Karl Rove went running for the Texas Rangers one morning. Jesus criminy, somebody has bugged George Bush's office. There's a bug in the governor's office. And it turns out that the bug that was in there had a battery life, and it was still running, mind you. The battery life on it was so short that the only person who could have placed it in that room was Karl Rove.
No, I never heard that.
I don't just make stuff up. So, you know, put the checkerboard away or the, you know, or what was I told the other night? It's not chess and checkers. It's they're playing Texas Hold'em and we're playing Uno.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put the Uno cards down and go all in for once and watch the blood drain out of their faces.
Well, it's definitely high time we go all in. And, you know, the only way our representatives and senators are going to get the clue that it is not okay what they're doing, you know, and, I mean, it's true. It's perfectly true. We don't have anybody else to vote for. So if they just shut up, they're going to get our votes anyway because we're desperate not to have the fascists in. But it's going to be fascist anyway. They don't seem to be able to get that clue. And so the only way we're going to get them to start representing us again is if we're out in the streets screaming and hollering and banging on doors and, you know, fisticuffs, whatever.
I know. I'm there.
Yeah, I'm there too.
I got a guy that the guy that called me boring. Sent me an email last night demanding explanations from me. Nah.
He wanted explanations for your boringness?
No, no, no. He wanted explanations for why I said I owe nothing to a Bush voter. Nothing but eternal contempt and derision. Hey, CB, we're out of time, dear.
Well, fooey.
I understand.
Because I really would like to tell you about that fellow. What I think about that fellow. Good night, everybody.
Happy weekend.
Revolution now.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Okie dokie. Show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Announced by Brian Reznor. Our engineer is Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. maintains the stream of this program, as well as the archives and the podcasting of this program and many other fine liberal programs. Fundraiser going on. Ben will never send you a bill. You must take it upon yourself to do the right thing.